flashes of stays.
Yeah. Welcome to the future. CEO 911. Two-tone, I'm in here. We can feel like it's the end of the road. One deep, the story is told. Life was hard back then, now they see them on the front page. This is for the future, girl that make a king mask a soul. That coffin won't carry your gold. Life was hard back then, now they see them on the front page. Welcome to the future. Let me take you by the child in the hood. Hasn't ate in 3 days, but he got all good. Daddy locked in the cell, mama working for his hell. And the pay ain't enough for the problems. Ah, little man got a dream for his family to get him out the hood. Got his mama off a salary. Pops out the pen with some grams in the bins. And the op pulled him over. Lose this off the dime and he ain't going back. So he left his family again for the last time. While he bust those shells, I bust right back. See the glass bin. Now his mother gotta pay for the casket. Did I mention he was sitting in the backseat playing with the flash on his way to attract me? Another victim of a black beast. Beast. We can feel like it's the end of the road. One deep, the story is told. Life was hard back then, nowadays see him on the front page. This is for the future, girl that make him can't mask a soul. That coffin won't carry your gold. Life was hard back then, now they see him on the front page. Welcome to the future.
This is for the kids that feel like they don't have a voice. This is for the future, yeah, you got another choice. Life is what you make, it hard work and get you far. Go hard, think smart. Never let them tell you who can and who you are. I remember days I was sleeping on the floor. Mama had to work just to keep us out the dark. Nowadays we gotta pray we don't see another war. This is reality, black on black crime. Police brutality, whites being judged when they fall off in the club. With the drugs and the thugs if they ain't from the hood. While the poor living poor and the rich living good. The world is the question, I'm just searching for some answers. Salute to the pilot, can I talk to the cap? I'm just trying to see what happened while the kids coming missing. Ain't nobody paying attention. This is for the future, yeah, I forgot to mention.
Like it's the end of the road. One deep, the story is told. Life was hard back then, nowadays see him on the front page. This is for the future, girl that make him can't mask a soul. That coffin won't carry your gold. Life was hard back then, nowadays see him on the front page. Welcome to the future.
Carbon friends, we are here for a reason. What is your reason? I have a question. The world is a stage, but what part do you play? Like several other phrases, this phrase was coined by William Shakespeare. Jacques has spoken his famous act in Act 2, Scene 7 of the play, As You Like It. He says, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women are merely players. The meaning of this phrase is that this world is like a stage show, and all human beings are merely actors. I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Elko Designs, and I am broadcasting to you, as I do every week, every day of the week, when I do broadcast worldwide. And on this Tuesday, May 9th, 2023, I want to welcome the worldwide listeners to Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the world is a stage. Let's just get it off your chest. What part do you play? Let's talk about what we have done in the world, what we are doing in the world, and what we can do in the world It's our future. We need to take part. We all need to take part. Not just me, not just you, not just a few, but all of us need to be players in this world and on the stage. Let's talk about what player you are and what we are to do to make plans for our future. You can give us a call at 845-241-9985. But I want to introduce this one gentleman who I kind of, you know, coined this around. We have a guest who some people call Guidance. I call him William J. And his email is FUTURE3@gmail.com. And I'm going to let him introduce himself and let him tell you some of what he'd like to see for the future. Guidance, William J., go for it, bruh.
Good evening, good evening. Thank you, Ms. Inez, first and foremost, for having me on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it. Thank you to all the listeners global for tuning in.
Yes.
My name is Guidance, Original Guidance, or OG. I also go by William J. On the radio, as well as you can find my most recent music under the name Two Ton. That's number 2, T-O-N, the number 3. You can also go to For the Future at YouTube, which is the number 4, T-H, the number 3, F-U-T-U-R, the number 3, at YouTube, no spaces. We are a nonprofit global entity that is focused on changing the world for the future, for the sake of the youth through the future. We bring fathers closer to sons and mothers closer to daughters as we stay focused on uniting communities in a positive light. We get involved with the local city, state, and government, police, and fire department at our events, as well as try to do events at schools, family events at parks, etc. I'm currently working on a project to unite North and South Africa with an artist known as Freddie Black and an artist also known as Tife. We are on 10 different countries and 6 different continents. The movement has been an absolute blessing. We've been working globally as well as a lot in the United States to bring positive geared music to the youth and showing very positive testimonies and transformations in artists from before their genre. I am blessed to say that I'm a part of the winning team, 300, with Pastor Don. Big shout out, Pastor Don. 300 stand up, as well as I am transitioning into voice acting, acting, movies, etc. So the career is ever changing, but I am still focused on being an artist consultation and development company and a nonprofit organization that is geared towards helping the youth find out where they fit in the world. But we use music to make that happen. Thank you, Ms. Inez.
Well, that's not all. The song that you heard at the top of the hour, that was one of his songs called Welcome. And so I had spoken to him a little bit earlier, and that was one of the songs that he wanted me to play. I said, okay, this I can feel that song. So that's good. And we also have with us, we have Pastor Don, of course. We have Pastor Don, Junior CEO of the winning team. And we also have Reverend Ron, out there from Little Rock, Arkansas, and he is with True Worshipers Ministry. So, Pastor Don, go ahead and introduce yourself. I know you're busy.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the Elite 300 winning team members. Shout out to my guy, OG Original Guidance, for the future, the brand, the label, and the entity that's moving up under the sound of my voice. If this is the first time hearing me, this won't be the last. We got a lot of stuff going on. Y'all just gotta look for things coming. Come on, man. We are moving across the planet expeditiously every day. I'm on at least 7 or 12 radio shows personally. I'm texting people, telling everybody come on in. Everybody make your presence. Push it number 1 on your keypad. Let Miss Inez know you want to speak. And let's do it radio. Let's get it done. On that note, I'm dropping the land on the plane.
All right. And Reverend Ron, how are you?
Oh, what the elderly people say, never better. How's everybody
never
doing?
Never better. We're good.
Bless, brother. Yourself.
Amen. I'm Reverend Ron at Little Rock, Arkansas. minister of the gospel with the message of reconciliation for humanity back with God, and also taking the people to a mountaintop experience with finances, with nonprofit as well, CDFI, Community Development Financial Institution, and also the first Minority Black Bank in Little Rock, Arkansas, People's Trust, Loan Fund, and Federal Credit Union. I'm a board, I'm a longtime board member of the CDFI Loan Fund, and also an organizer of the Federal Credit Union People's Trust. Sarah Washington, CEO, and we have small dollar loans. We have loans where people can, you know, with their businesses, enhance their businesses with equipment and so on and as such. And then we have financial classes where people can get financial literacy on Saturdays. Also, musician, recording artists. I have about maybe 3 albums. Then I have a group of people on 1 album, as well, different artists, parts of the country, making a difference in the community because we're developing communities, and we're hoping to spread, you know, our footprint all around the country, because in every community, whether it's minorities or people of color, we need a financial institution that not just there, brick and mortar, but giving loans to people, because the more we can keep money in our people's pocket, the more the economy will boost, and also the more money will circulate among us that we spend that $1.7 trillion in a year. We hardly get $100 billion out of it, but we're making a difference. As the brother was stating earlier, we're making a difference little by little. You don't eat the elephant all at once. You take a bite out of him at one time. You know? So we are, with the help of God and his mercy, his all-seeing eye, pushing buttons for us from eternity here on the earth, giving us the revenue, giving us the technology to make things happen in a different kind of way and send a different kind of light upon African-American men. For the most part, you know, most of our okay, that's my part right there on that piece. So I'm involved. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm involved. Most of all, the reconciliation message, humanity back to God. You know, because if that happens, then everything else is done. That's why.
Okay, and we have our brother from another mother, Joe from Montana, on the line. Hey, Joe.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I
hey,
can now.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
What's well, going on, Reverend, where have you been? Have you been on a spiritual vacation?
Hey, Malachi, it's been, as I was telling the listeners and those that are on the line, Joe, we've been busy, man. You know, we've been busy. When I say busy, I mean, busy, but thank God we're accomplishing things as well. People are being blessed monetarily. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I heard you describing what some of it entailed. I just called in without taking a look at the page. I'm at the I'm at Inez's show page now. Brian Carlin Friends. Oh, the world is a stage. Oh, okay. I thought it would be about relationships tonight. Okay. Well, you will be glad to know, Inez, that you're going to have some competition. I'm starting
That's
a show
fine.
Next Wednesday. And so I would start it on Thursday, but I like you, and I don't want to take away all your listeners. So I thought I'd do it on Wednesday.
You know, this is a world of choice. So, you know, if they could choose to go where they would like to go, if you take them, then they weren't mine to begin with. But I know better, so, you know, you're supposed to be... And depending on what time you're on, it's a different story as well. So you cannot say you're taking what is not really mine. I'm just glad that they come to the show, listen, and participate. So that is how I see it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because, like I said, my show's on Wednesday, and it's not going to be on Thursday. So it's going to be about one major topic. It's going to be the major thrust of the show, and that's about providing solutions to help combat corruption so that maybe we can get out of the grips of the Matrix, the New World Order, and find out what we can do as a people. The other one, since not too many people are going to show up for that, and I know they're not because I have been listening to people over the years about what we should do, and they are always saying, you know, well, we got to organize. We have to do this, and we have to get people together. But when you give them the opportunity to do it, they never do it. So I know they're not going to show up for that. So as a side note on that show, I'm going to talk about, does God exist? Is God helpful? Things like that. And in addition to that, I'm going to talk about relationships. Hopefully, I'll be talking more about relationships than anything else, but those are going to be my three topics, with the major thrust being, can you provide an actual solution to the corruption that we have and are experiencing today? So I just wanted to let you know. And because I am such a good guy, I will not do it on Thursday.
Well, what time is your show? You need to tell the people that. What
it's
going to
be at
show?
9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. Because we just usually have Bible study on Wednesday nights, every other Wednesday night. So you're okay.
Yeah, no problem. All right. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Hey,
Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, Robert.
You know, those are some very good topics you call off there, you know? There is a solution. There is a solution, you know? And on our stage, which very much coincides with what esteemed host on this topic on tonight, the stage is getting money into our people's pocket. We've done everything, and I'm just saying this, and I'm going off the course because I got something to say to the topic on tonight that's really helpful. But, you know, out of all of our organizing and so on and such, we talk about everything but getting money into people's pocket. If you get money into people's pocket, then money can circulate in the different communities, then different things can happen where people have a different point of view outside of violence.
True story.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. When the children that's committing these crimes and so forth, and actually, I don't want to go a long time because we're dealing with a beautiful topic on tonight. But when children grow up in a household, and young men, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, thinking they have to be the man of the house and they got to go out because they haven't got no knowledge to really do anything. So but they catch hold to this intoxication of visible view, TV and so on, and they feel like they got to go out and try to help mama do this and help mama do that. In other words, instead of helping mama, you put mama in a worse condition if you're in a dead with no insurance. You put it in a worse condition if you put mama having to come to the jail every weekend to try to bring you some money. Whereas you should take the things that mama do that's right, far as working, getting a job, thinking along those lines, and then even being creative. Being creative, well, you can create something and then somebody will help you with money to do what you need to do, but there first must be entities in the community, financial institutions in the community that give loans to people to better their lives. Not just the bank that your credit score got to be 850 or this or that and another, but you need its financial institutions that can wedge money to the ideals of the people in the community to make their community what they want it to be. But money has to be there. So there has to be financial institutions. So we need to start preaching more of building financial institutions in our community that can give loans to people at their abilities to pay back. I'm going to leave that alone for another time. But that's what he drove me to thinking when he put that on the table when Joel talked about it, mm-hmm. and the brother spoke about it, Jay spoke about it earlier, then mm-hmm. Joe came along to speak about it. Well, you know, it's financial institution. Money, let me just share this with you. God and money can determine the prospects and the prosperity of a nation. God and money. The utilization of it, the truth about it, and the life of it. But that's another conversation. But I'm just, you know, just in lieu of what you all were saying, Joe and Jay, you know, you got to have those financial institutions in place. You can do all the planning. You can do all of the classes. But you got to have that money in places where you can help people wedge money to their ideas. Some of them got brilliant ideas. Let's take the money, wedge to it. And they're workable ideas. I yield right there. I'm sorry, Ms. Inez, didn't mean to.
No. Out. You're fine because on this show, what is my topic or what do I say? Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it. And if we need to talk about it, that's what we do. And so that, you know, that's something that we need to talk about because the world is a stage. So if we need to talk about these subjects, let's talk about them. I mean, you know, what part are we playing in these? You're a banker, you know, so do we need to talk about how to get these funds, you know, for the future? Do we need to talk about, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's something that you do. So why can't we talk about it? So, that's nothing is wrong with that. And Joe, you know, brought up the topic. So, you know, so it all kind of fits together. So no matter what my topic may be for an evening, we can always, mm-hmm. was it the word deviate, as I say, to something else, mm-hmm. because basically it always comes back to the topic. So if we want to discuss this, that's not a problem because, you know, we're all here to help, mm-hmm. you know, change the future, bring people awareness to people, you know, as mm-hmm. well as, you know, kind of upgrade, let people know what's mm-hmm. going on. Because I played, mm-hmm. you know, early before we even came on, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people mm-hmm. don't know what's going on. They don't know how to get funds. They don't know, you know, what their future is going to be. They don't know, you know, how to mm-hmm. Ask. They don't know where to go to ask. They're out there mm-hmm. in limbo land. And so mm-hmm. When I have my, Ms. Inez says, hey, we could talk about anything. We could talk about the rain falling for all I care. But that's still part of the future because if the rain doesn't fall, we're not going to have any food. We're not going to have any crops that we're going to need to talk about. Right. So you see what I'm saying? So just I start with one topic, doesn't mean we have to stay on, quote unquote, that topic. And that's why I like the different array of people who call in because they always enhance what's going on. So that's mm-hmm. why I love my brother Joe because he always, you know, has things to say and then we go and deviate and then we come back. But it is all still, what are we going to do to for the future? What are we going to do to help our fellow man? What are we going to do for our children? What are we going to do to leave that carbon imprint so that it can be carbonated, as I guess you want to say, so that they have something to follow? Because if they don't have anything to follow, they're going to be in the wilderness, you know. So
we can't leave
what
culture.
Part do we play? Right. What part do we play in our future? What part do we play in bringing up our children? Like, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes everybody to raise everybody. I mean, I don't know all the answers. You don't know all the answers. So everybody around us is good enough to help us raise ourselves, raise each other. We have therapists. We have people who are friends who talk to us. We have all these things. So in essence, we are all players in this world and in this game, in life. So we can talk about all these things. So don't think that we can't talk about it. So keep on keeping on. Keep on talking. So let's see. Oh, did Joe go? Oh, Joe? No. Okay, he got it. All right. So, Joe, do you want to say anything else?
Well, only a little bit more about the show, the relationships. The world of the stage, which is a topic which encompasses just about every situation that every man or woman encounters in their life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we always have to find solutions to whatever problems that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about problems within relationships. Talk about problems about corruption in Washington D.C. because the bastards up there, they're the ones that are creating all the problems that we have. They're the ones with their laws are creating the problems. They're doing things unconstitutionally, and they're dragging America down. And I want to talk about God because, as you know, I'm an atheist, more of an agnostic, and I want to know about what people think about God. Why do they believe in God? How important is he? And, does he exist? So, that's about it.
And that topic, I'd love to have it as a Bible study. And maybe Reverend Ron can come on the day that he's not speaking, and we can all have, be there on your show. Because, I mean, we are all family in my eye, We help each other type of thing. So, I mean, because a lot of people wonder, why are you atheist? Why are you agnostic? Why do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Because another person was wondering, why do we call him Jesus? Why isn't it Yahweh? Why isn't this? And so that's another topic that I have out there. It's like, okay, some people call him Allah. Some people call him this. Some people call him that. Why do we have all these names for the same person? Is the Quran real? Is the Torah real? Why do we go by the Bible? I'd always say it's the basic instructions before leaving Earth, because that's all I know. If I'm taught something else and something different, it's still talking about the world as a stage, because we're all players. So Reverend Ron could say, okay, this is why there's the Bible. This is why there's the Quran. This is why there's the Torah. Maybe OG could talk about, something that he believes in and doesn't believe in. We're all still players. We're all still learning. Okay, why do you think so much about this? Why do you think so much about this? Oh, I don't believe that. And everybody has their right. It's their opinion. Nobody's wrong. And nobody's right. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. So you can't say, oh, my God, I can't believe he's talking like that. Why doesn't he believe in God? Because maybe something happened to him for him not to believe in God, or he has never been shown the way that some of us have been shown to get to God. I had the 12 steps to God, a couple Sundays ago, because that's what all that I know. Yeah. That's what I've been taught. But until I'm taught something different, or I'm directed in another way, or somebody else says, why don't you think about this? And I mean, a lot of things go through my mind. It's like, wow, I didn't know about that. Some people say, why do you even wear a cross? with God on it, without God on it, or Jesus. It's because, you know, he died. He's not there anymore. But then there's a symbol. Well, he's still there. He still reminds me of what he came down from. Okay, that's your opinion. There's nothing wrong with it. We are all entitled to our opinion. Don't get mad at me for what I believe. Let's, as my message says, let's talk about it. That brings us things to talk about. And that's why I said, if you have a topic, let's talk about it. And Joe, you could come on the show and say, okay, this is what I want to talk about. And that's why I bring a lot of your subjects to the forefront, because they're very good subjects, and it brings, you know, other people thinking about, oh, wow, you know. So, you know, so in your mind, Joe.
I'm glad to know I enhanced your show.
Oh, I tell people that all the time. I tell people that, you know, because without you guys, I am nothing. I am just a mere platform. I want you all to come to the stage and become players. I am just a platform, and I just bring this for you guys to talk about so other people in the world can think about things. You know, other people out there miss, well, all I know is God. Well, all I know is Allah. All I know is Yahweh, okay? And, okay, so I'd like to have people of other ethnicities and other Christianities and other relations and religions come up so we can all discuss this. Why is your God so much different than this God, and why don't you believe in God, and why is there a God? Is there really a God? You know, all those type of things, you know, people talk about. But then they talk about it with people who all are all the same. They don't talk about it with, like, people with Reverend Ron or Pastor Don or Joe or me. It's like, okay, so why do you talk amongst yourselves about the same things that you know? Why don't you talk to other people to bring it to the forefront? A lot of us are so afraid to go outside of our skin and outside of what we do to even learn. You know, why don't we go to other, you know, to Catholics or AME or Kojic, Church of God in Christ, or Lutherans, or Baptists, or non-denominationals? Why don't we go and just and listen, and at least let it get to our mind, because we are so focused on what we know that we're afraid to let anything else come into what we know. I'm landing my plane at the moment. Anybody else like to say something?
Absolutely. I do believe that understanding is going to be vital to what everyone's speaking about, as far as bridging the gap of the belief system that has separated and divided so many of us. I think the ability to understand someone's difference and differentiation in their upbringing from yours, in order to find a common ground to build on, is probably the key to that stepping stone. And far as the importance of it in the future, it will allow the world with so many vast differences and so many different majorities of people to sit in the same room together and eat. And this is going to sound extreme, but it's almost comparable to segregation. What society's dealing with and what's going on. You know, certain people will not deal with certain people based off of whether it be their belief system, the way they dress, or what they believe in. And the way that gap is bridged of segregation is understanding in a lot of eyes. In some eyes, they've never seen the change. But I do believe that being able to understand that we're all supposed to be different from each other is the only way to truly fix the issue that we have with, like was spoken about earlier, you know, the hate, the disdain, you know. I have friends that are atheists, you know. I believe in God. You know, I had personal experiences that brought me those beliefs. So I can't judge someone else for not living that same life I live or having that same experience as me. And all I can do is hope, you know, and wait, because I grew up in the church. And it took me having an experience to truly believe. So I've never judged anyone off of their belief system.
Thank you.
With that, I give you the floor.
Okay, see, Joe's still with us? Yeah, he's still with us. Okay, Joe, you have anything to say? And I guess I'm going to just ask you, why don't you believe in God? Why? This is our show, so hey, why don't you believe in God? Or why are you, we call it agnostic? Is that what you said? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You have to wait a second because he's got to take himself off of mute. Joe? Okay. Once he comes off, he'll turn us back. But, Reverend Ron?
Well, a mountaintop experience is not designed for one that have the experience to live upon the mountain. But the experience is to enlighten the person that have the mountaintop experience so that what they are enlightened with, the knowledge, they may come back down and share it and make the people in the valley better. Mountaintop experience sometimes are misconstrued. Some people think that because I have the sensation of a lifetime that I never experienced before, I'm supposed to stay in that moment, in that sensation, in that time forever. But that's not the way it goes. You experience the sensation, and usually you look for God in it and get information so that you are prepared when the sensation ends. Now, there are different sensations. Some are sensations of emotion. Some are sensations of convictions. Some are sensations of change. And some are sensations of excitement. But do we stay in one or the other? No, because things are steadily changing. Things are happening. What we do, we modify and we enhance our thinking that we may make one better, that we may make one perfect in their thinking with wisdom, truth, and light. Now, some people forget about coming down off to the mountain because they say, this is a better life up here than I had when I was down in the valley. I don't want to go back to the valley. The valley don't serve me what the mountaintop served me. But remember, there's not much room on top of the mountain. And the air is very thin. It's hard to really, really have good breathing process on top of the mountain. But if you really apply yourself up on the mountain and you get the power of the mountaintop experience, but then you can make a change in the valley because there are people waiting on you, particularly you, and your stage is waiting. Now, the artist can't go on the stage without being able to really entertain the audience. If so, he may have but a one-time Johnny Lately. But if he prepares himself, the audience down there, if he gets what he needs up on the mountaintop, then when he comes down in the valley, he'll be able to enhance the valley people. Now, the stage, as has been iterated so eloquently by everybody on the phone tonight, the stage is many different areas and aspects, phases of our lives. And you actually need a revelator on every stage because the revelator reveals what is truth and future. So I yield right there. But the mountaintop experience is to be enjoyed, but not to live up there.
Okay. Pastor Don, you have any comments?
I just want to say I just appreciate this platform and broadcast. I love the way you digging into the topic, getting everybody involved. Keep doing your thing. That's all I got to say. Shouts out to my guy, Original God, going down a great interview.
Yeah.
This is a good night, very good night. On that note, I'm going to land my point.
Thank you. And you know you're more than welcome to talk about what's on your mind, what's on your heart. If you got, you know, things that you're trying to do for the future? Because you are a busy man. I mean, he be calling me all day long, you know, trying to get in touch with me. I'd be busy working. And it's so funny. He says, well, call me when you can. I said, okay. But he's out there promoting. So that's part of the future as well. So you can talk about what you do as well, Pastor Don.
All right. On that note, I'm a 45-year legend in the entertainment industry. I take your business, products, and services brand to the next level. I work with 300 winning team members. They all have different businesses. They all have different ideas. My job is to go out there and reach out across this vast world, find people who need artists, find artists who need homes, and on top of that, show people how to make money from the entertainment business. And I'm also an author. I wrote the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. It's a 77-page comprehensive document teaching you everything start to finish, how to run your business in the music industry. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I can be reached directly at 602-478-1619, 602-478-1619. Shouts out to you, the listeners. Thank y'all for calling in. Thank y'all for the cash out, all the support. We cannot make it in this world if we don't help somebody else. On that note, I ran my plane. Thank you, Ms. Lamez.
You're welcome. And I have looked through those 77 pages. I haven't gotten through all 77 pages, but it is very, very detailed, very concise, very precise. So it's very, very, very detailed. So he put a lot of time, heart, and effort into that 77-page document. That should be a book in itself. But okay. So Joe, are you back with us? Because it takes him a couple minutes to mic up, as I say. Okay. So we can continue. So Reverend Ron, as you were saying, talking about being on the mountain and coming down and going around and being throughout, like we're going to grandma's house, because that's a journey in itself. And you know, some people I know you're gonna laugh at me, some people don't know how to take the journey. They don't know what steps to take. And like I said, that's another reason why we're here, because we need to help those who are confused or not sure what direction to go, to help them get to a certain spot. I mean, there's a lot of talent on this line this night. I'm hoping that more people will join us this evening for our topic, The World is a Stage, What Part Do You Play? And so are you out there just sitting watching the play? Are you, stagehand? Are you the director? Are you calling the shots? Are you, you know, doing makeup? What are you doing? The world is a stage. What part do you play? We have makeup artists out there. We have all these people out there. I design clothes. I've been doing this since the eighth grade. And my birthday, as a matter of fact, is coming up on Friday. OG's birthday is tomorrow. His anniversary is on the 11th. And his wife's birthday is on the 12th, along with mine. I'm just the older woman. But anyway, I'm just messing.
That knowledge of it.
So we're gonna, before we end this show this evening, we're going to wish everybody happy birthday, happy anniversary, and so on and so forth. But, you know, I'm hoping that other people do join the call tonight and get up in the air so that they can land their plane as well. But, you know, like I said, I design clothes, and so I'm going to be out of town, and I'm going to be in a place where I've always wanted to be, which is New York, for Mother's Day and for my birthday. So, you know, that's where I'm going to be. So there's no show on Thursday evening, and I'm going to try to get a tribute together for Mother's Day. If not, charge it to my heart and not my head, or vice versa, however the saying goes. You know, just forgive me if I don't get it out there, but I'm going to do my darndest to get a Mother's Day tribute out there to the mothers, because all the mothers deserve a shout-out. And so if y'all want to do a shout-out,
send it to my email at letsdoaradio@gmail.com or text me if y'all have my telephone number. But, you know, we all play a part. Our mothers play a part. Our fathers play a part. Some may not have good fathers. Some may be deadbeat dads. Some may, you know, be fathers, stepfathers. Some may be stepmothers. But we are all playing a part in the world. So whatever you are doing, y'all should be calling in. Hey, this is what I do. You know, I'm a plumber down the street. Okay, this is the name of my plumber. I'm Ace Plumber, blah, 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 blah. Hey, I cook food. I'm a chef down the street, blah, 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 blah. We all have a part to play. Some people feed the needy. Some people feed the hungry. I'm talking about the Bible, talking about church, you know, talking about, you know, religion, I guess you could say. You know, we all have a part. Just because I ask, you know, the question, what part do you play, doesn't mean you don't have a part. You might just be the water boy and giving some water to somebody who's thirsty. You might be somebody who's repairing shoes because they don't have soles on the bottom. What are you doing? Y'all call in 845-241-9985 and let's talk about what part do you play in society, is I guess I should have had it. But the world is a stage. What part do you play? You may be a very integral part to, yeah. Yes?
Suzanne Innes.
Yes?
You mentioned something. So did Joe. And I like to just share something with that.
Okay.
On the part of why should I believe in God? And why, yeah, well, why should I believe in God and why should I believe in God? And, you know, that piece right there. Well, I notice it's a vast majority of people. Now, this is part of my participation on the stage because I'm a reconciliation guy. Okay.
Okay.
So for the most part, a lot of people, a vast majority of the people, say they are atheists or agnostic or so on and such.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why should the agnostics push agnosticism on people that believe in God? Why should they get angry because people believe in God? And some folks say, well, it ain't true. It's a story that was made up in England and so on and such. But me being a believer, I have experienced while living this life.
Right.
I have had experience. I have experienced while living this life that made me solidify my belief in God. I have had experiences here in life, dealing with life, business, and actually everyday practical way of life. I have had experience that solidified my belief in God. So it's a choice for everybody to believe in the Lord, but it's wisdom to carry out the actions of our God while we live here on the earth in every aspect of our lives. The characteristics. It's just not about speaking in tongues, shouting, and you know, saying I believe and speaking, you know, with other languages. It's something more to it than that. It's your lifestyle. It becomes your practical way of life, exemplifying the characteristics of a true and living God. There is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
between a statue God and the true and living God. There is a difference. One's real, the other one's not real. A statue, I don't care what you say, a statue will not respond to you. You only respond to the statue, but do not respond back. But the true and living God, the invisible God that you can't see, he responds to you in this natural world that you live in. So I just wanted to say that.
Amen.
No one should look down on no one, but there is a difference. There is a difference. There is a attribute, awareness, character, that you take on the characteristics of perfection. You practice it, but you're taking it on. And the more you practice, the better you become. You don't become conformed to the ignorance of the world that we live in. It's a bunch of ignorance going on in this world that we live in day to day.
Yes.
And I'm talking about, it's the epitome of ignorance, if you just let me tell it. And a lot of people that say that they are educationally sound, they are participants of the ignorance. And if you just don't believe me, just look at the people that are supposedly leading the world, how they are leading the country, how they are selling out to ignorance, pure ignorance and lies.
Mm-hmm.
Now wait a minute. If you're trying to build a strong constitution on lies, how are you going to help anybody? How are you going to make a decision for anybody if the strength of your constitution as a man or a woman is developed off lies, falsehood, fabrication? How are you going to lead anybody anywhere? Something's about your life supposed to exemplify realness if you are a sane person. If there's no exemplification of realness in nothing that you say or do about you, then you're not a good agnostic. You're not a good anything. But a good liar, that's it. And so a lot of people practice lying, and they want you to accept that they are good liars. And the pinnacle that they've reached, they've gotten there by lying. And they want you to conform to them being great, and they're nothing but liars. Can't do that. Or otherwise, you have nothing but a delusion. And we all know that magicians are the ones that can carry on a good illusion. So on the stage of life, we must believe in what's real, and we must deviate that which is not real. You know, if you're going to be a perpetual educator,
okay.
I yield right now.
Okay, the phone lines have been. I'm blowing up. Did you want to say something before I introduce the other guest, William J?
Yes, I definitely wanted to speak on that. I definitely get where you're coming from. I look at it as an opportunity to prove, you know, that God is real. When someone looks down, talks down, or speaks false or negative about the things I've been through to put me in that positive position or to help me find that
religion,
I do not judge. I know plenty of people that don't believe God, but that's the perfect opportunity to show them God's grace and mercy. Whether they get it today or 100 years from now, it doesn't slow down my effort from just being that positive light. Now, I've not always been, a bringer of Christ, you know what I mean? I've had my issues. I'm human, as we all are, you know. But when I asked myself that question, the only way I found to stop asking myself that question was to understand, one, understanding, but two, it's a perfect opportunity to walk in Christ, to live in the Lord and the Father and the positive blessings. And I completely remove whatever any one specific race, ethnicity, or religion would call him by name. We all know with our eyes closed, without a voice, that we're speaking to a higher power. So I definitely look at it in the terms of everything that's been created and the simple amount of positivity that the world is lacking now. And that's what we utilize it for the future, to bring positivity, to bring people together. We actually get out in these communities and in these streets, actually bring the positivity to these houses, families, communities. So it's tough. And you got to remove a lot of how you personally feel from a situation to continue to be positive or help in any situation, whether they want you there or don't. It's more of a purpose than a than something you just do on the weekend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Something that must
mm-hmm.
be done.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we were called to do. And with that, I'll end my plan.
For the moment. Okay. Okay. And we have new caller with the last four of 6103. You want to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from? Or if you're just listening, but I see your hand is raised, so you must have something to say on Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. 6103, last four.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Michael. I'm calling from Minnesota. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to the last two brothers' point about the fear of the Lord. I mean, the flip side of that is what comes with it. Because a lot of people, they hear about that and they view it almost like a chore, like, oh, man, this is going to be hard and it's going to be boring and it's going to make life boring. What you get when you fear God and you actually obey him is you get peace.
Mm-hmm.
You get a joy, you get a rest inside that.
Amen.
That there's nothing in this world that can match that. And there's so few people, and you don't get that peace from just believing in Jesus. You get that from true, deep repentance, when you really repent, and God sees
Amen.
It. You know what I'm saying? And to all the
mm-hmm.
brothers out there, like, what that looks like is, it's not just say, stop stealing, stop cussing, stop lying. It's deeper than that. It's stop looking at a woman with lust. It's forgiving the people that wronged you in the past from your heart. It's about
Amen.
Spending that time alone with God in prayer that no one sees, where it's not about looking good for people. It's where you could care less what people think about you. Right? That's what Jesus said. He said, don't be like those that want to justify themselves before man, but go and justify
mm-hmm.
yourself before God by praying in secret
right.
where no man sees. Right? So everything that God,
mm-hmm.
Jesus told about God is God looks for what you do in secret when no one else is watching, because
yeah.
that's the real you. And if you think about the three men in the Bible that God honored, that God had a close relationship with, and the three of them
mm-hmm.
happen to be living amongst pagans that didn't believe in God, we got Abraham, we got Joseph, and we got Daniel. All three of them were living amongst pagans, surrounded by them, surrounded by idolatry, all kind of craziness going on. But in the midst of that, they all had tests that they had to pass to do what was right in secret when no one else was watching. Right? So that's something to think about. Remember Joseph was Potiphar's wife. He could have had sex with her. He could have got away with it. She was obviously a beautiful woman if she's married to one of the high-ranking Egyptian officials. But he chose in that moment to not do it. God saw it, and he rewarded him openly. That's what Jesus said. Do what's right in secret, and God will reward you openly. So this is something to think about.
Thank you so much, Mike from Minnesota. Thank you. Did you just land your plane, as I say? But you're more than welcome to stay with us and continue the conversation. That's not a problem.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then we have with the last four, 8566. Please introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, Dr. Robin Stark. I'm calling from Miami, Florida. Right now I'm just listening and paying attention. I just logged on.
Oh, thank you. And to Dr. Robin Stark.
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling in. And you say you're calling from Florida?
Yes.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much. And as I had spoken earlier, we all are playing a part in the world and on stage. And you as a doctor, I don't know what type of doctor you are, but I'm sure that you are. Do you mind me asking what type of doctor you are?
Yes, education.
Okay. So her part is an educator in this world on the stage. So that's her part for the future. So she's educating. See, so all of us have a part to play, as I've spoken earlier.
Amen.
So I want to thank you for playing your part and taking a stern role in what you're doing. And basically, thank you so much for calling in and being a part of the on-air audience. And if you want to say anything, just, you know, we all blurt out, and then we just say, hey, one person at a time. So if you have something you say, you're more than welcome. So if everybody would mute their mic until they do say something so that we don't have background noise, that would be most helpful. So thank you all for joining in. And then we also have with the last four of 0126, would you introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Trey the General. I'm calling from the Gunshine State, home of the Drop Tops. I'm an artist, content creator, writer, but I'm a creator before anything. And I'm just chiming in, representing the 20-team-300 with Pastor Don. And
stand up. What up, Trey?
And so I kind of caught the end of it because I was in the middle of getting things ready for my room that I host on Clubhouse every Sunday. You know, I talk about the history of music and the effect it have on today's sound.
Okay. So, go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to end it with, I do have a single that I'm pushing called Vert No Ceilings featuring me and JT Money. So, and those are projects I have working on, and I try to, like, just stay in tune and listen to the political thoughts of others and see the realm mm-hmm. that they're standing on.
Okay, good. Thank you. And I'm sorry. I mean, I know artists have those fast talking, but I didn't catch the name. You could say your artist name. That's fine.
Trigg the General.
Trigg the General. T-R-I-G-G, the General?
T-R-I-G-D-A.
One G, okay.
General.
Okay. Because I'm on Clubhouse as well, so I may have to join you one day. Okay. Thank you, fine sir.
Yes,
and,
yes ma'am. Please come to the show on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, as long as I, because I do work on Sunday, so, you know, I'm forever working. So, if I do see you, I will more than be happy to say, hey, this is Miss Inez from the Blog Talk Radio. I heard you, so here I am. So thank you so much for joining in. And like I said,
that's what I love.
So like
to see
I said, and I can't be nobody else. This is the stage I'm on. I can't be you. I can't be OG. I can't be Pastor D. I can't be Reverend Ron. I can't be Dr. Stark. I can't be Mike. I can't be Joe. I can't be nobody else but myself. And I just appreciate everybody who's joining in. And we have another person who just joined us for the last four of 5431. I believe that's Bro Eddie.
That's Blaze the Way. That's what it is. That's Blaze the Way.
Yes, sir. It's Blaze the Way here. Calling from Borger, Texas, man, with Current Life Entertainment. Founder and CEO of, shout out to Pastor Don and the Elite 300 winning team members, 365 Days of Radio Campaign. Shout out to William J. For the future. We've been partnered up doing some stuff. You know, I'm just catching the last end of the call, and I appreciate
Blaze
you
the Way.
Having y'all have me on there. William J., what's up, brother? How you doing?
Bless, King. Good to hear from you, King.
Right on, man. I'm just blessed to be a part of this call and be in touch with these people. You know, I'm new to this, but I'm very intrigued with everything that's been happening. Big shout out to Pastor Long, and thank you, Ms. Inez, for having me.
Oh, anytime. You guys, anybody is always welcome to my show. You all don't have to say you're coming, just show up and, you know, you have words to say, you know, just as long as there's no cussing. I don't do the cussing thing, so you start cussing, you get muted. So that's just me. But
yes, ma'am.
I just appreciate that.
You're going to have to
I just
appreciate
your information. Excuse me?
This Trey, you Trey the General, you're going to have to give me your information so I can log in and catch the show from start to finish next time.
Okay. I can do that. We will do that. I'll usually it's Tuesdays and Thursdays. And as Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. We talk about some earth thing. That's an earth thing. From relationship to world earth news thing. To earth thing. E-R-T-H-A-N-G. Thing. I'm sorry, to the educator, we don't always talk like this. I do have a, I was learned better than that. No, I'm just sitting there. And I was taught better than that, and I do have a very good vocabulary, but I just appreciate you being on here. Usually on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, and I bring up some all kinds of topics, and everybody's more than welcome to join in. The number is 845-241-9985. You can always go back and listen to these episodes after they're aired, and it's on demand under www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio. So that's what I'm under, is Let's Do It Radio. So when you log on to Blog Talk Radio, just holler at a sister at Let's Do It Radio, and you're in there like swimwear. So thank you. So we also have caller with the last four of 2212. Would you tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please? Hello? 2212? Okay, this person may just be listening. That's fine. Thank you. So the topic of the night.
Extreme. Extreme host. I'd like to, on the stage tonight, I'd like to ask the question that's kind of been on my mind. And to the doctor, this question is for the doctor of education.
Robin.
Which just came on. For the most part, you know, the word education has been misconstrued. I was in a session in Chicago, over on the south side of Chicago, and it was a conference. And the question was asked, what do education mean? What do the word mean? And they had a bunch of Loyola students and a bunch of Illinois State, and they had a bunch of a lot of different students in the conference. So when they asked me, they said, "Well, what do education mean, Levin, from your standpoint of view?" And I said, "Well, education, the word education means to strengthen and bring out one's faculties intellectually, physically, and morally, and show a person or people their manifold capacities in which they are able to operate in." And so one of the persons said, I thought it was just a teacher at a group. I said, no, a teacher in a group means a university. But the word education is a hands-on approach that an educator takes to get through to people. Now, some people say, well, okay, well, let me stop right there. Doctor, what's your point of view on that piece?
Can I speak on that after the doctor?
Sure, certainly. You can speak before.
Well, if that's the case, well, when you look at the word education comes from like a Latin word, you know what I mean? And basically it means to learn, to know, either like lead out or some of that nature. I'm not quite sure. But to lead out internal, and education is focused on like the hidden talent of a child or person. You know what I'm saying? And that's looking at it in like an origin, or in the origin of the word, or the etymology of the word, getting into the root meaning. And hopefully that can help you come to a better understanding of
the word education and the meaning.
No, I know what it, I know what it means. I know what it means.
I know you know. But it wasn't for you. It was probably for somebody else.
I know what you're saying. It's so true. It's so true. Very true.
In all actuality, though, the education system was put in place and was taken over. When it got adopted into the United States, it wasn't meant for what it's used for now. See, the education system was bought and taken over by the Rothschild and the Rockefeller family. They didn't want self-thinkers. They wanted what you would call a social thinker, a community thinker. They didn't want you to think for self, because if I think for self, my intelligence could reach a pinnacle that one could never achieve, especially with my type of DNA and my and the structure and anatomy of my body and me being who I am. And with that being said, how can you be stopped knowing these things? So they had to pull up a barricade of blockage. And not only that, the United States itself is a corporation. So therefore, all the everybody that's on this phone, on this app right now, are owned by or property of the United States, which and what the United States is just a third-party ownership, because you're really property of the Queen of England. Now, because 33% of the taxes we pay go to New England. Not New England, excuse me, to England. Which the language they speak in England is English, and which we call today Old English, and we speak the New English, which is which has several different dialects from all different nationalities. In return, makes this a borrowed language. So how can one understand the words that he speaks and tell someone and sit and wonder why we have a term of miscommunication? We're sitting saying the same thing, but totally different. That's because we're speaking a borrowed language.
Absolutely.
Think about it. Spell check. Why they call it spell check?
Wines and spirits or something else too.
How powerful the words speak are coming out your mouth.
Well, what about the knowledge that's unspoken that one receives within its own being?
I do believe that would be judged by one's comprehension of that being.
That's what we go wrong in our teaching when we're teaching somebody, because you're teaching somebody what you believe. You're teaching somebody to perceive something is real and it's not. And belief automatically creates doubt. It's a negative word.
Let me rephrase my comment. My comment was, we spoke about education according to theory, but I said, what about the knowledge that one receives within his own mind? There is a comprehension of knowledge that's ascertained within one's own mind. I spoke of that after you spoke of the natural or either the formula of education as well as I did from its original origin. But then I also spoke of another knowledge that's given through by one's own mind and the Creator. And it's good for business, it's good for ethics, it's good for education, it's good for enhancement, it's good for perfection.
But now this knowledge, you receive it by listening to the voice of perfection in your own mind without an instructor, teacher, preacher, whatever.
You might know a little something.
I'm listening.
American education was an indoctrination camp. That's why you see all these teachers teaching all these LGBT issues to young children. They're trying to get more and more children to question their gender, question their sexuality, and they know what they're doing. They know that both homosexuality and transgenderism are mental illnesses.
Man, let me break that down for y'all real quick. It can be
something that if you can bring into someone's life, especially when they're young and impressionable, either through traumatic events like sexual assault and molestation, or you can indoctrinate someone into their mind to make it normal and create a society that encourages it to young children that are feeling either alienated or alone and want to be, you know, liked and supported. And that's what we see going on right now. That's why there's an explosion in the number of people that identify as LGBT, like you've never ever seen before.
Well, guess what? Want me to break something down to you?
But we just got going.
You've been identified as LGBTQXRZ since day one.
Let me run something by you. In respect of what you said about the misconceptions, the truths that are being surged, that it may intoxicate some thinkers. If imperfection is the pinnacle in which a multitude of people are learning on this, well, then what's going to be their height? If the pinnacle is imperfection, whatever they learn under the canopy of imperfection, it's going to be blemished. Whether it be knowledge, whether it be participation, whether it be regulations, whether it be negotiations, whatever it may be, if it's under the pinnacle of imperfection, you're not going to get perfection out of it. Do you think an imperfect-minded, imperfect person teaching young minds that are suitable for perfection, do you think they're going to put perfection into the children's mind and they're imperfected thinkers?
We're not talking about imposing perfection or imperfection. We're talking about people that have an ulterior motive.
But yes, you are.
Pushing agenda.
When you say that these people are indoctrinating our children, are trying to spread something that they believe and impose on people's lives or lifestyle.
Hey, dog, let me handle him real quick. Hey, listen.
That's imperfection, bro.
Let me tell him something, though, because right now he want to draw a division line and say what he is not, but what he really is. And see, I'm going to break it down like a double-barrel shotgun for him. See, when you go and look at the word you and man, you will find out that you've been part of the LGBTQXRZ community. So when you go and break that compound word down, you and man, and you find out where homo sapien came from, my brother,
Are you telling me that you identify as a homosexual? Come on, man. With all due respect to what the brother just said, that's obviously absurd, man. I didn't know that. I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say something, but it's not as deep as what you're trying to make it out to be. Really?
Listen. Yes, you're straying from the derivative of the conversation.
Right.
The original derivative of the conversation.
I'm educating. So, because he's saying something, he's speaking on something that he don't know the knowledge of. And I'm letting him know. He said, I do know the knowledge of it. It's not that complicated.
This guy's trying to conflate the word homosexual.
Okay, so then what we can do is we can agree to disagree and come back to it later. We're live on the air, gentlemen.
But let me go back to a point that's necessary that would bring unity. Now, before the fall, in the garden. A day, a week, a month before God was happy with what he had created, right? Even 2 days before Adam and Eve fell, when they broke perfection, God was really happy with them, wasn't he? He was happy with them, right?
Yes.
So why was he so happy with them?
I mean, according to his story.
Huh?
According to
his story. Why was God so happy with Adam and Eve before they fell in the garden, before they brought in this misconception of truth, this nature that was Adamic and fallen? Why was God so happy before that happened? Why?
Because they had a fellowship with God. They had a relationship with him. They didn't disobey
him. They had a relationship with him, and they had perfection. There was no imperfection at all, right?
But that's based on your opinion and assumption. You can't say that
fact. No, just reality of what's written, facts, records. Records and
that
facts.
That has not been proven.
What hasn't been proven?
You can't, there is no pathologist on this planet could tell you where the Garden of Eden was. There's no proof of the Garden of Eden.
What?
There's no proof of none of this stuff you're speaking of.
Okay, are you trying
there
to say
there are a lot of hidden facts,
sense?
But we're straying from the
Come
derivative
on,
of education, gentlemen. Think about it. We started with education,
okay,
now we're debating
the
Garden of Eden.
Everybody take a
hold
time
on. The point
out.
I was bringing
everybody
up about education, when I talked about indoctrination, has to do with the fact that, number one, I have children in school. I got young children. And a lot of people aren't aware of what's going on in education today. So to be clear,
yes,
we're not just talking about them teaching about homosexuality and transgenderism. They're actively encouraging children to do it, and they'll do things without the parents' knowledge. For example, in the state of California right now, if your child decides to identify as transgender, the school will put your child on puberty blockers without your knowledge, without telling you. Your school,
yep,
will start to identify the child as that opposite gender and give them a new name without notifying you. The school will even set up for them to have same-sex operation, which your insurance company now will have to pay for without notifying you as a parent. These are all the new,
yes,
rules that have been in place right now. Okay?
That is tragic.
So we're talking about parental rights.
Fight that.
One at
Since
a time.
We talk about
this
that,
is good conversation.
Since we talk about that.
It's one time.
Why not speak on why they erasing black history from out the education system? Why they not telling us where
Absolutely.
We came from? Why they not telling us we're gods and goddesses? Let's talk about that.
Yes.
That's not.
Well, you're,
that's
first of all, you're not a god.
Telling
ourselves
that
you're not
anymore.
A goddess,
let's talk
one.
About why we don't know
number
where we
one.
Came from. Let's talk about how they taught us every real black man that was somebody the government killed. Let's talk about that. That's what they taught us.
Yeah. You certainly can.
But you don't
want to
speak
and
on that,
would, I definitely like to speak
there's,
on
look,
that.
There's,
subject,
there's, nobody,
and that's where
there's
I was.
Nobody stopping you from learning that yourself. We're talking about what's
one
being taught
time.
To all children in America, right? If you want to learn about your own history, that you're free to do so. No one's stopping you. But when you're talking about teaching other children that they're not really a boy, that they're not really a girl, that they're the opposite
oh, it's
gender,
a problem,
and then
man.
and then without
no,
without without telling your parents,
your home.
Bro, listen, you don't have children.
Hey,
you don't
hey,
got children. That's
time.
Why you're
listen.
Saying this. You don't know.
One at a time.
Everyone here that has children understands what I'm talking about. Okay, when you have children, sir, maybe you might care. But because I'm assuming you don't got kids, if the way you're talking is like talking to someone who doesn't have children, when you have children, you care about them and you care about their future. And you don't like
yes.
it when people do things and teach things to your children that will hurt them in the long run and will do things to them that will have long-term effects without even notifying the parents.
So why you won't teach
your you know what puberty blockers do? Puberty blockers are chemicals that will stop your child from going into puberty. It's the same chemicals they give to rapists when they do chemical castration. It's the same type of drugs they give them. That's
yep.
what it's. That's what they use for puberty blockers. They will give that to children without telling their parents. You understand that? You think that's a problem
okay,
or that there's nothing
right.
to worry
you
about?
What, you're saying. What have you done? What have you done to bring a stopping to this?
I prefer, first of all, I've taken my children out of school. Me and my wife, we homeschool our children, number one, because we learned about the curriculum. We went to the parent-teacher meeting. We saw what they were teaching them. They're in the books, they're showing children graphic depictions
no, no,
of
we're
two
not
men
talking
having
about what you
anal
did for your
sex.
Children. We're talking about our children. We're talking about everybody's kids.
Young
not what
children
you did
count. There is,
Yeah, I can't parents say all across America, parents all across America are going.
Hold on, wait a second.
Parents all across America are connected and going to these school board meetings to confront traitors on the curriculum that they're teaching children by reading and showing them what's in the books that they're giving the kids. In these books, they're showing children how to graphically have two gay men having sex. They teach kids how to have anal sex, how two homosexuals have oral sex. And we're talking about them teaching this to children as young as 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, if anyone who knows what's going on, they got kids, you need to be aware of this. And a lot of parents are getting involved, and the school boards are trying to stop us from getting trying to change this curriculum because they're on board with the Rainbow Mafia. I won't use LGBT.
Well,
I call them what they are. They're the Rainbow Mafia. And they're trying to indoctrinate our
children. Do you have any of this in writing? Do you have
there are school board members.
Hold on.
There are school board members that are definitely fighting against that and even spoke on the fact that they will be pressing charges on those teachers that are forcing these videos and these books onto children without their consent. It is essentially child pornography. There are cases in place to definitely take care of this because there are parents that do still care, that understand that the knowledge of one's sexual orientation not only belongs to the one individual person, but is most importantly taken care of by the family so that they may instill their beliefs in them. Okay? I come from a time when we said God and the Pledge of Allegiance and when they taught how to cook and how to work on cars in school. Okay? If we're talking about education and we're talking about facts and spirituality, we need to speak on the facts of the things that were taken from our children that we experience on a regular daily basis, okay? 90% of the things that are going on in the street with the murder, with the rape, with the molestation, with the child pornography would be taken care of if we still had the same things in place that we had in place when we were kids. I remember staying at auto shop till the sun went down. Home ec, wood shop, teachers that cared, that were allowed to care. Okay. See, the problem is that the system is paid off, and the teachers are no longer being paid enough to sustain that job. The teachers that care are not being paid what they are worth. Okay. But
Wait a second. One person at a time, please.
In the basis of what's going on, and the fact of the matter of how to fix the problem is very simple. Who trained those cops? Who trained those lawyers? Who trained those doctors? Who trained those pastors, those preachers, everybody working at a restaurant? I'm a diesel mechanic. Who trained me? How is it that I make more money than the person that taught me how to make my money? That is the biggest flaw in our system right now, is that school is a pawn for whoever throws the biggest dollar at it to take over the world. Because you have to understand, For the Future is an entity that is for the youth because we understand the power of the control of the youth. And we are not looking to use it for our own better gain, for our own personal fulfillment, or any other twisted or sadistic thing, merely for the fact of giving the power back to the people and the children to live the lives that they want to live and not have to worry about the destruction, senseless murder, etc., and mind control that the media is forcing onto the children. The youth are the most powerful asset on the planet. The most powerful asset on the planet. Yes, and they are the future. So we must understand that the reason why the school system is so askew is because it's up for bids like the prisons are. If we as parents took control of these schools and allowed it to go back to the way that we were raised, we wouldn't be having these same problems. My son was very interested in his automotive class until they couldn't teach him anything else. He knew everything. There's a lot of different programs that were removed. Think about it this way. The same time they removed God from school, they removed home ec. They removed balancing checkbook. And the actual things that matter in life that actually help us benefit. Mm-hmm. So it's not really, I mean, with all respect, I hear what you guys are saying on the LGBTQ. I'm not, you know, I have nothing against everybody doing their own thing. But I come from a time where what you did in the bedroom was your own business. Okay? My main issue with the situation is the fact of I feel that, yes, that is a good topic to talk about with parents and amongst parents. But the most important topic to speak about is the fact that we as parents no longer have control over what our children are being taught.
And we can change that with the right policy. All we need is school choice. That's the problem we have right now. So school choice, for those who don't know, would basically make it to where if you have a child you can take all the federal and state funds that would go to your child if they went to a public school, and they would apply that to a private school voucher of your choice. So, for example, most high school students, when they go to school, they get that school gets on average $12,000 to $16,000 per student, and that's combining federal and state funds. For elementary age kids, it's around $8,000 to $10,000. So with school choice, what that would allow is, for example, if you're a family that can't afford to send your kid to a private school, you could say, I want to take my child to, let's say the public school your child goes to is not good, and you want to take them out of that and you found a private school that does that offers better education. You could sign up for that school, and the money that the public school would have received for your child would instead go to cover the tuition for your child to go to a private school. Now, this policy would benefit lower income and black families more than anybody else, because they're the ones that are oftentimes stuck having to send their children to poor public schools where both the teachers don't do a good job, the education's not good, and there's a negative peer pressure influence in the school that lead the children down a destructive lifestyle. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the reason that this policy gets opposed is because the teachers' unions give the Democratic Party millions of dollars every year. And they've made it clear to them that they do not want the Democrats to support this policy, even though the Democrats claim to support the working class and that this policy would benefit the poor more than anyone else. The Democrats have chosen the money they receive from the teachers' unions, which is millions, over the benefit of children. Now, the brother talked about the financing of schools. American schools are some of the most well-financed schools in the world. The problem is the money does not go to the actual education, pay the pensions and health care of the teachers. Now, depending on what state you're in, it's different state to state. But if you're in the Northeast, for example, let's take New Jersey as an example. In New Jersey, most teachers get $55,000 to $70,000 a year, which is kind of an average salary for most, right? But what they also get is the government pays 98% of their health care for the rest of their life, not just while they're a teacher. It's for perpetually till the day they die. They get basically free health care. And their pensions, which are massive, they get basically the equivalent of their actual salary after they retire. So the state of New Jersey almost went bankrupt just having to finance their education system, which is just paying for the teacher's pension. The state almost went broke. And this is happening across the country. So the problem in American education is they pay so much to these pensions, to these health care plans that the teachers have, to their unions. And most of that money that we think is going to education is going to that. It's not going to getting better books, better resources, building better schools, none of that. It's going to pay for these schools. The money that the unions negotiate with the state that goes to these pensions. And most states are going broke because of these pensions. Now, you look around the world, most countries around the world that are way ahead of America on the academic performance, they don't pay anywhere near the level of the money that we do. A lot of these schools are third world and developing countries, where their kids literally are sitting on the floor, don't have notebooks or pencils, their teachers barely have chalk to be able to write on the board, and the children have to memorize without being able to write it down, just memorize, take it to mind and take note in their own mind. It's not studied or have resources to go home with. Yet they perform far greater than ours do when you look at academic achievement, both in math, history, writing, and so forth. That's why America, most subjects is around 18 to 30 when it comes to international rankings. Yet they spend way more money than anybody else.
A point of order.
So the issue is not money. The issue is culturally, and the issue is what the actual education system is teaching and what type of curriculum they're putting forward. And lastly, we need school choice, because school choice would force the public schools to have to do better, because now they would have to compete and they would have to earn your child going to their school. It wouldn't be we get your child just because you live in our district and you're poor and you're forced to have to send your kid here because you have no other option. Now it gives parents the option to choose, and it forces the public schools to have to do better if they're going to get the money. Because now they get the money no matter what. It doesn't matter what they do. So they don't have to try. But if you bring school choice in, now they have to actually put the effort in. Now if that school is not doing a good job, you as a parent have the ability to say, you know what, I'm just going to take my child out and I'm going to send them to this school instead. And that $8,000 to $16,000 a year the school was getting for your child, now all of a sudden it's gone.
That'll
get them to act right more than anything else. But as long as they have the current system, they'll never have to improve because there's no incentive to improve. That's my point of order. Thank you.
point of order. If parents around the country would take time out and be the best teacher that their child will ever have, some things, even if it was put before them, they would know better. Now, if the parents would get up on Sunday mornings, take their children to Sunday school, let them learn about God, let them learn about perfection, let them learn about the ways of life, the golden rule of life. If the parents would get up on Sunday mornings and get their children to Sunday school, let them be developed as babies in Sunday school. Let them learn how to read in Sunday school. Let them learn how to talk in Sunday school. Let them learn what words is, how to spell in Sunday school. Now, the reason why I say that is because I learned how to become a great reader in Sunday school. Why? Because the Sunday school superintendent, he made everybody read in the class. So you didn't want to be embarrassed with all the other children. So if you read poorly one Sunday, then you would go home through the weekend. You would study your Sunday school book. So if he called upon you, then you would be able to get up and read properly. Well, they done away with Sunday school. The parents got lazy and say, well, just let the teachers at the school teach them. Well, again, if you allow perfection to be put on the back burner, and then you let imperfection be the main thing on the main burner, then what's going to happen? Now, all of the educators, all of the people, listen to what we're talking about tonight worldwide, all of the educators that we call educated and called students, people have learned venues. Look at what we're discussing, what they're teaching the children, showing the children. So they haven't learned very much from where they came from, which is imperfection. So if all you got is imperfection year after year after year, then you're not going to have nothing but a dithros. And what is a dithros? Dithros means when people repeat themselves. In other words, they don't go forward. They just repeat themselves. They're in a circle. Well, that's the way it is in the world today. If you listen to the Republicans, how they lie, uphold lies, won't come to the table with nothing that matters, but trying to point the finger and judge everybody, and the ones that are doing the judging are stone any liars. So how are you going to get perfection out of imperfection? How are you going to send your children to schools with people with imperfection in their minds? And that's front and center. And you think your child going to be taught perfection? No. They're not going to happen. They're going to learn everything terrible like they're doing. The educators were so smart, they thought. They said, well, we'll take God out of the equation. Any nation without God is a helpless, hopeless nation. And all you, any country, any people who roam in a state or in a country without God, you got a bad situation. Just like we got in New Jersey, just like we got in New York, just like we got in Mississippi, just like we got in Arkansas, just like we got all around the states in the United States. Why? Because people say, they argue and they say, we ain't got to hear that God stuff from the king. Well, why not try God? Try the God that you're talking about that's not real. Deal with him for a moment and see what happens. And I'm not talking
It's not because if they don't believe that God's real. The issue is if God is real, now they're going to have to stop having sex out of marriage. They're going to have to stop getting high, stop getting drunk, and they don't want that. That's why they have the incentive not to claim God all of a sudden doesn't exist. Come on, man. This has to do with willingness. They don't want to submit to his authority. That's all that it comes down to.
How do they categorize what's going on in the system of education? How do they categorize that with being the solid way for children to advance in life? How do they do it if that's the case?
They're not trying to get children to advance in life. They're trying to create a group of citizens that will submit to the government. That's all it's about. They're trying to create a new society going forward.
When you say submit to the government, what are you talking about? When you say people submitting to the government, what are you talking about? Are you talking about to the laws that are passed? Are you talking about people being imprisoned by the government? That needs to be explained, because it was a lot of people that stormed that insurrection on the 6th of January, thinking that somebody was after them to take their country from them. And I still say nobody got up with clarity and explained to those people that nobody was coming in forcibly trying to take their country from them. But they led people to believe, well, the government is trying to steal your country. They're trying to take your house.
No, that's not why they did January. So they did that because they thought the election was stolen, right? That's a separate issue. Just like Democrats thought that the 2016 election was stolen. This is a game, that's a political game. I'm not trying to get down that road. What I'm talking about is the fact that we have a rising tyrannical state. We saw during the COVID pandemic, governments all across the world shred a lot of individual rights. And in different states, you saw a greater level of it.
Explain that to me.
Okay. So if you look at, let me give an example. Look at Australia and Canada in particular. And then look at the states of California and New York.
Let the man speak. He let you talk. Go ahead, brother. Continue.
Reverend Ron. Which one, Reverend Ron or Mike?
Mike made a statement. You know, he said that the government was trying to confuse people. Well, and
I didn't say confused. The COVID pandemic showed the entire world that governments around the world were trying to impose certain rules and tyrannical control that they otherwise didn't have before. And they
Could you pause right there and explain what the imposement that you say that the government was trying to put on people? Now, if you're talking about the mask, wearing the mask.
No, I'm not talking about the mask. I'm not talking about
that. If you're talking about the gatherings, if you're talking about people gathering together and spreading.
No, I'm not talking about any of that. It has nothing to do with that. We're talking about corporations, governments, and when it comes to policies that were put in place to let certain people get ahead and hold other people back and empower certain parts and not others. Okay? So we had a marriage between governments and corporations all across the world where certain corporations were allowed to stay open and take over the market, and certain businesses were forced to close, thus eliminating them and letting the major corporations take over the entire market. What we saw was basically a monopoly.
I haven't saw that. Where's the facts on that? Because I hadn't really saw that during the pandemic.
Okay, so you can look up during the pandemic, look at how many small and medium-sized businesses were shut down, and look at the expansion of the major corporations, the Fortune 500 companies, and how much of the market share they grew and how much they started to take over during that time period. Right, that was all
A lot of the small businesses during the pandemic was really helped when the government brought on the PPP program and brought on other programs. A lot of the small business was really helped when the government compensated the employees were not able to come to work because the virus was so vicious. A lot of small business was was compensated and really helped by the federal government during the pandemic. So I have to ask you questions because I'm in it. So when you say certain things,
let's be clear.
I have to ask you.
Just because you get a PPP loan is not the equivalent of losing the actual consumers that you have, okay? When your competitors are able to stay open for a year and you're forced to close for a year, what do you think ends up happening to your business in the long run? It's just common sense.
But can I speak on that?
You
understand what I'm saying? It's not,
closed,
not that.
But when they came back, when they came back,
time,
some people came back
time,
too.
One at a time.
Can I ask a question?
Yes,
gentlemen,
please do.
On that subject. I would definitely like to speak on that subject because I was in the process with Brandon Simeon of opening a jazz club and a restaurant.
Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead.
Which I had to go to a different company to work a regular 9-to-5 through the entire pandemic after losing my business. And that corporation, I'm not going to say any names, was wide open. We had business every day. I worked Monday through Saturday. But the business that I was in the process of building, the business that was a family-owned business with a friend of mine that we put our blood, sweat, and tears into, had to close down because we didn't have that pull. So from both sides of that equation, I'm not trying to speak indefinitely for anyone else, but from my personal perspective, we had clientele lined up. We practically had a list already, you know, private dining events, private events, the whole nine. And to see it from both sides of the equation, I was never bothered at my corporate position. And with that, I stepped down. I do not mean to, you know, ruin y'all's, what y'all are speaking about, but I definitely want to say it was definitely different on both sides of the totem pole. When I had on a uniform, it was different than when I was standing behind my own countertop defending my own family and friends.
Thank you.
Now we're up. With all that being said, see, I'm the guy that like to play the advocate and take it to the origin and the root of all these problems that y'all discussing. Now, can somebody care to explain to me why every country artifact has been returned to their country in which it was originally found in, except Africa? Why the motherland can't get their artifacts back? That's what I want to know. Why is it spread across the globe? Anybody care to answer that question?
Sure.
Well, I'm African myself, so I can speak to that. That stuff doesn't even matter. Number one, let me tell you this, man. Africans are not concerned about artifacts. They're concerned about their economies. They're concerned about their standard of living. They're concerned about the future of their country. Nobody's worried about artifacts in a museum.
No. Politics don't want you to think that they're not concerned about their artifacts.
No, I'm an actual African, and I've lived there, and I'm telling you from people from that perspective, nobody cares. Artifacts don't mean anything. I'm just telling you the truth, man. Like, let me ask you, are you worried about some artifact from the 1860s?
All right, thank you for the platform, man. I'm going to talk to you later. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Wow. That's the example of what the Bible says. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. That's the example right there.
And you know where they got the Bible from?
Oh, tell me. Go ahead. You have no idea. You don't know where the Bible came from. You don't know
the
manuscript history. Okay.
The
what's the oldest? Dude, I know the Bible. I know Koine Greek. I know Hebrew. And I know where the manuscripts came from. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, what's the oldest manuscript we have for the Bible right now? What's the oldest manuscript we have? How long ago? A physical copy of
the Sumerian tablet. Sumerian tablet.
The Sumerian tablet? Are you serious? Come on, man. You don't know what you're talking about, bro. Go ahead. I don't know who told you that or where you got that from. You have no idea what you're talking about.
I told you.
One at a time.
That's where they got the Bible from.
The Sumerian tablets are not from Egypt. The Sumerian tablets do not have the Bible written on it, man. You have no idea what you're talking about, bro. I'm sorry. I don't know who told you that, but they lied to you. Just letting you know.
No. Every religion, every city, every form of the government, everything that they got has been taken from Africa, from every branch of your police, your army, all that came from Africa.
Do either of you know about Ground Zero and the Crystal City?
You can't tell me I'm lying.
Hold on. One person
bro,
at a time.
I'm telling you, whoever told you that is just playing games with you, man. That's not true, bro.
Ain't nobody telling
you. I don't know where you got this history from. Somebody's lying to you, man.
I would love to hear what you know about the crystals.
Hold up. I want to put everybody on mute.
First of all, you said that this.
Hey, listen. We're all trying to learn here, okay?
Good evening.
The world is a stage, okay? So we need to be respectful of each other and quit talking over each other. So we're learning. So it's okay to disagree, to agree to disagree, but we need to still respect
but
each other. So
that's all I'm
listen,
saying, man.
And that's fine. I just want people to at least get what they have to say out and then land their plane and then let somebody else talk. Don't talk over each other because we're all learning this information. And so if we need to go and dig deep somewhere, that's what we need to do. But don't talk
yeah,
over each
some
other
people
because
gotta
we have some
themselves.
Important points. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You're right. I agree. Let me just ask the brother. You said that the Bible was the oldest copy we have is the Sumerian tablet, correct?
No, that's what I said, but I was wrong. That's the first form of the written language that they quote unquote would say, but really it came from the Egyptians.
It came from the Egyptians. Okay, now what's your source for that, and where did you learn that?
Where did I find that?
Where did you learn that from?
Book, any book that got a picture of inside a tomb, the writing's on the wall.
Okay, so my original question to you was.
That's where he got electricity from.
Okay,
that's where Nikolai Tesla got the idea.
Let's be clear. What the actual question was what's the old? You told me that you knew where the Bible came from, so I asked you, what's the oldest manuscript that we have for the Bible? Okay, that was what the actual question was. You told me Sumerian tablets. Now you said no, it's Egypt. I'm just trying to clear. Do you even understand what I'm asking you?
Man, it's neither here nor there because it's pointless information.
Pointless information? You're the one that brought up that you're saying, I don't know where the Bible came from.
It's a legit question. We move on to the next subject. There's no need to keep measuring.
Brother, if you don't know something or you don't like, let's say you don't like the Bible for whatever reason, or you know, it's better if you don't know something, not to speak on something you don't know.
I don't like when you put it in the wrong context.
Context? You don't even know where it came from or what it is. You just made up some stuff just to sound like you know what you're talking about, but you obviously don't. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just keeping it real, man. You don't know
anything. Let me ask you a question, okay? Since I don't know nothing, right?
I didn't say you don't know anything. I said you don't know what you're talking about when you were talking about the Bible.
Tell me what the Ark of the Covenant is. Since we want to talk about the Bible, tell me what the Ark of the Covenant is.
No one knows what the Ark of the Covenant is. They claim they have a copy in Ethiopia, but that may not be real. That has nothing to do with the Bible.
Now, what language? Hold on. What language was the Bible translated from?
The Old Testament is Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament is Koine Greek.
Okay. Hold on. Listen now. If it was translated from the Hebrew language, right, and I look up the word ark in the Hebrew language, doesn't that tell me the definition of what ark is? If I look up if I look up the word covenant in the Hebrew language in its original text, shouldn't that tell me what that is? So how can you sit here and say, don't nobody know what it is? This is what I'm saying.
No, I said no one knows where it is, not what it is. It says where. Are you asking me where it is or what it is?
No, I asked what it is. No, you're not.
Oh, I thought you said where it is. I said, okay.
No.
Well, I can't tell what you're saying half the time.
Now you're
okay.
A thinker.
Okay. Sounds like we came to an agreement on that one.
No, we didn't come to an agreement. This guy, listen, man, this guy, I've dealt with people like this. They play these word games. They try to play what they call the etymology word game.
No.
They say something, but there's no substance.
Listen.
It's just fluff. It's nothing. It's an empty word, man. You're not saying anything.
No order. Gentlemen, the calm tone in your voices was what I meant when I said agreement. It's an understanding. That's all it was. Was an understanding, and the calm tone in your voices was okay. Look, I'm not going to get through to this gentleman. Hey, I'm not going to get through to him. We understand. Let's calm the situation down and be respectable. I completely heard what you both said, and that's what I meant when I said came to an agreement. My wording was incorrect, but what I initially meant was the calmness in your voices. Okay, you guys realized it was escalating. Let's be logical and move on to the next subject.
Okay, fair enough.
So, and hold on. One quick second before we move on, right?
Live radio, he didn't take a stab at you, brother. We can circle back around.
Listen real quick. The Ark of the Covenant was a dead body in a casket. That was the Ark of the Covenant.
God.
Everywhere
okay.
they took the body of Moses.
My man,
that
is the crazy thing I heard somebody say.
We can come back to it.
The body inside. Wow.
That's mummified.
Read the Hebrew. Bro, you do not know what you're talking about. You haven't read the Bible. I don't know who told you that. You are.
Gentlemen. We are not on live air.
Hello.
Wow. We are inaudible on live air. We are inaudible. No, none of you are being heard. Okay. Miss Inez, it's your show.
Nobody.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Miss Inez.
Angel.
Let's take a breather. Let's take a breather. Okay. Anybody like to join us on Miss Inez says let's talk about it. The topic is, as you can hear, it's very chaotic at the moment because we're misunderstanding each other. We're not understanding each other. We're trying to understand each other, but everybody's talking over each other. So we're talking about the world being a stage, and what part do you play? It sounds like we are playing like chaos, and we don't want to play chaos. I want everybody to be able to understand each other because we can't understand anything that's being said, and we're all learning. Okay, one person doesn't like the way this is said. Somebody else doesn't like the way this is said, but we don't indignify people. If somebody doesn't know something, maybe that's what they taught, that the Ark of the Covenant was a dead body. If they know no better, that's all that they know. You all are laughing. But what I'm saying is
gentlemen,
the host is talking.
I'm talking. So the best thing to do is, the people who are Bible scholars, we would say, listen, this is where you can look up the Ark of the Covenant. I thought the Ark of the Covenant was something on Indiana Jones. I'm just messing. But still, you never know what something is until you dignify it with real straight answers. And a lot of times things are all mumbled, jumbled up, so we don't have the real answers until it's brought forth and in front of us that we can touch and feel it. So until we can touch the Ark of the Covenant.
Miss Inez, the only thing they got to do is open up their Bible and read the story and read the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant, read how many people it took the Ark of the Covenant, and they'll realize that as of today, it takes 6 pallbearers to carry an Ark of the Covenant, and it's 2 that hold the 2 end poles on each side at the end, in which they're called cherubims. Now, ain't nothing you finna tell me that I don't know of what I studied. I didn't read this book. I studied this book. I studied the Quran. I studied the Catholic religion. I didn't read books. So you can't sit here and tell me.
And you came to the conclusion that the Ark of the Covenant is a casket with a dead body in it?
Excuse me.
Are you kidding me?
Excuse me. The gentleman is still talking. Once he has landed his plane and he says he yields, then the next person can talk. But until then, it's rather rude to be talking over each other. We are all adults. So please, respect each other. Will you please finish?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. See, the only thing I'm going to ask is, I'm going to land my plane after this. Since you're trying to delegate or what I'm saying is such falsified, right now you have a device in your hand, and I'm going to tell you the resource to the information to go and find the statement of facts to back what I'm saying. That is not just my opinionated thoughts. Now, if you cared about what I'm saying instead of trying to refute it, you would look to try to have an argument and statement worth talking about. But you don't even want to do that because you're in your feelings. And I land my plane.
Okay.
Anybody
well said,
else?
But we would
Mike?
Like that information. Please give me that website, sir. This is Guidance speaking. Please. I'm curious to hear your perspective again through understanding. I will give you the pleasure of looking this up for you.
Wow. No, you're not looking it up for me. You're looking it up for yourself. Because I already know. I just broke it down to you and told you how to find it. Now, if you weren't listening, it wasn't my fault.
Yes, you said you can give us the information. I'm with it.
Oh, I did already. I guess you got to go back and listen to the replays moving forward.
We shall continue. Miss Inez?
The Ark of the Covenant, known as the Ark of Testimony or the Ark of God, is a legendary artifact believed to be the most sacred relic of the Israelites, which is described as a wooden chest covered in a pure gold with an elaborately designed lid called the Mercy Seat. And that's in Wikipedia. Not that we believe everything that's out there on the World Wide Web, but that is what I found in the on the
and
web.
And that's just speaking on face value.
But do you know what it had in it? In the Ark of the Covenant.
The host, she's literally reading text. Let her read,
inside
please.
Inside of the Ark of the Covenant was the rod that budded that Aaron, Moses had. And then there was the showbread. There was a showbread. And then there was the oil. And then there was the blood that ran down from Christ's cross was there in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant carried the cherubims, what's in it. All of these wonders and all of these things that was used in the theophanies of God was in the Ark of the Covenant. That's why it was so holy, and that's why it was so revished and reverenced, because it was the holiness of God and all of the things that he used with the hands of Moses, Aaron, and then, it was a dead body in there.
Yeah, but what about the dead body? Where'd they put the dead
body?
Okay,
now we done
Now
we done read it in a borrowed language. Now, can we go back? Now, I'm finna teach you all the rule of studying, right? Take the word ark. Now, look up the word ark in the Hebrew language. Since y'all don't know how to study, y'all just want to read. I said study. I didn't say
okay,
read.
Okay, the Ark of the Covenant in Hebrew, Aaron Haberet. In Judaism,
no, let him go. You gotta let him finish this. I gotta hear this. Okay, go ahead.
She's in the process of reading, gentlemen. Let her read.
Let her go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. What was the Ark of the Covenant? Hebrew, Aaron Haberet. If I'm saying that right, in Judaism and Christianity, the ornate gold-plated wooden chest that in biblical times housed the two tablets of the law given to Moses by God. The ark rested in the Holy of Holies inside the tabernacle of the ancient temple of Jerusalem and was seen only by the high priest of the Israelites on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Levites, priestly functionaries, carried the ark with them during the Hebrews' wandering in the wilderness. Following the conquest of Canaan, the promised land, the ark resided in Shiloh or at Shiloh, but from the time to time it was carried into battle by the Israelites. Taken to Jerusalem by King David, it was eventually placed in the temple by King Solomon. The final fate of the ark is unknown.
Amen.
And the
he's about to teach us what the word ark means. Go ahead. I gotta hear this.
I wasn't about to teach you nothing. I was going to tell you how to go and look it up yourself, because I already
know. No, go ahead. You know what you were going to say. Go ahead.
Take the word ark by itself.
Yeah.
And look it up in the Hebrew text. Take the word covenant by itself and look it up in the Hebrew text and get back with me.
And what is it? What is it?
I don't know what it is. I don't know nothing according to you.
No, you're the expert in language. Go ahead, tell us. You go ahead, break it down. Go ahead.
Why should I repeat myself?
Yeah, what did it tell you? That it's a casket with a dead body in it?
To sit here, I'll be a donkey.
Mike,
to sit here and
Mike,
let you
Mike,
make
Mike,
a fool of me.
Mike.
Girl, you did that
Mike.
To yourself. I didn't have to do nothing, man. I'm just letting
now,
you go
stop.
Ahead and walk off
stop.
The cliff.
Gentlemen.
Stop.
We don't want to have your lines muted. We want to make sure y'all are definitely heard on the show. And that conversation isn't getting
okay.
us anywhere. So we'll go to Democrat versus Republican.
Hold on. Tabernacle in Hebrew is miskan, which means dwelling. In the Jewish history, the portable sanctuary constructed by Moses as a place of worship for the Hebrew tribes during the period of wandering that preceded their arrival in the promised land. The tabernacle no longer served a purpose after the erection of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem in 950 BC. Israel's earliest sanctuary was a simple tent within which it was believed God manifested his presence and communicated his will. The elaborate description of the tabernacle in Exodus is believed by some to be anachronistic, for many scholars consider the narrative as having been written during or after the Babylonian exile, which is 586 to 538 BC, after the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. And I could read on more and more. So, but this, I'm just looking at this in the Britannica.com under the topic Ark of the Covenant. So, I mean, it's out there. So we can always
No,
grow.
No, you're totally
you
correct. No one will disagree with that. You're talking facts. I'm just not the first time I dealt with somebody playing these little etymology word games and trying to act like words mean have these other meanings and all that. It's just, I don't know where these people come from, but it's always that one guy who always had to say that. You always know that? Let me tell you what the word Israel
it
really
is
means.
There's always that one that follows his master.
And who does my master tell me?
Come on, everyone.
Go ahead, tell
I
me.
I do believe derivatives matter, so we'll definitely, you know.
No, no, let him say it. Tell me. Who's my master? Tell me. I know who your father is and who your master is. But if I tell you that, I know what your reaction is going to be. But who's my master?
No comment?
Rick. All right. Mm-hmm. On to the next subject.
Hey, Miss Inez.
Can I repeat something?
Yeah.
Miss Inez, I'm going to tell you, you know, I love your show. Your show has some of the most beautiful and intelligent people amongst each other to the point that I humble myself.
Thank you.
Can I repeat something?
Yourself as well, sir. I understand your perspective.
Reverend Ron.
A mountaintop experience is not designed to live upon the mountain. The air is thin, and then there's not much room to move around. So when one have a mountaintop experience, they receive something at the mountaintop, knowledge. So when they get the knowledge, they don't just live upon the mountaintop with it. They go back down in the valley because people are waiting for the knowledge. Now, what effect does that have to do with what we're talking about? You may learn something. You may learn degrees of some wisdom, some things that are taught, and some things are just fables. Some things are fables that people heard, coined, and then they start using it. But a lot of times it didn't have no truth to it at all, as far as facts about life. It was just a coined phrase. Now, when you go to talking about spiritual things, then your reference of facts should be the Bible, okay? The reference of facts should be the written word of God because it's indelible and you can't erase it. Some people try, and when they do, they confuse themselves, and it confuses others. But if we would allow the written word of the Lord to remain as he has written, I'd really like the brother to say, study the word of the Lord, study, then we will find something in there that will perfect our lives and the lives of others. But we must resort to the Word of God if we want concrete facts about the world we live in.
So is it safe to say we might well go to the beginning?
Well, you could go to the beginning of the scripture, yes.
Make man in our image. Let's start right
say
there.
Say it again. Say it again.
Let us make man in our image. But it's one God according to your teachings. Am I correct?
One God in three persons.
In the
that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
One person.
Yeah, there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the word God, there's the word Elohim, which is a plural form. Be the Lord of hosts.
Elohim means pearl, right? And the language that came before in which the language the Bible was written in, shouldn't that tell you something? If Elohim means pearl, and then your Bible
Elohim,
says there's one?
Well, just that God is one in three persons, and we're talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when the Bible says that God is one, for example, it's the word echad in Hebrew. Echad means one. It means like compound unity, because there's another verse where it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and become one with his wife. Now, the word there that says comes one with his wife is the same word, echad, where we use the word that God is one. So the word one there is not saying one as in the number one. It means one, like unified, like being united. So when the Bible describes how God is the Father, Son, and the Spirit, that they're united as one, where Jesus said, I and the Father are one, means even though they're the plurality, they're one, they're united. So when it says God is one, it doesn't mean they're number one. A lot of people misunderstand that point.
Right.
Okay,
you're
okay,
right.
Okay. I'm asking for clarity right now.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So what you're saying is it's safe to agree that it's more than one.
Yeah, that's how the Bible describes God. He's not just one being. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, that's the only overstanding I want right there. You know what I mean? Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. It's just simple. It's cut. It's black and white. No gray area. Ain't no gray areas on the chessboard. It's just strictly black and white.
No.
So, and we come up with that based on the language that was before the context the Bible was written in, right?
No, we're basing it on the actual language it's written in, which is Hebrew.
That's what I just said. The language it was written in before the Bible.
The way you're wording that is not correct. You're saying it's not the language written before the Bible. It was the language that the Bible was written in.
Right, Hebrew.
I think what you're trying to say is before we translated it to English. I think that's what you're trying to say, right?
No, I'm saying it how I wanted to say it. I think I'm intelligent enough to know what I'm talking about.
Well, the way you're saying it doesn't make sense. I don't know if you realize that. That's why I'm clarifying it for you.
It's not supposed to make sense to you. Let those who have eyes see.
Apparently. So you make a lot of good statements and you just carry on, even though
it seems like we've hit another roadblock.
Yeah.
How can you write in a language before the book was made? That's what your question said. The language that was written before the Bible.
Which is what? The Hebrew language. That was written before the Bible.
That's the Bible, the language the Bible is written in. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, even if you're
the language come before the Bible?
Even if you
know the Bible didn't come before the language.
No, we're talking, okay. Now you can go after what your point you're trying to make.
Thank you.
Are you alluding to the Torah? Are you alluding to, is that what you're alluding to, dear brother? But all of that was written in Hebrew at first, according to, if you're just looking for compulsory teachings, all of the written language of the Bible was Hebrew.
Hebrew, right?
Yes.
And where you okay. And before the Hebrew people, what nationality of people there was before the Hebrew language?
Well, there was a couple, but I mean, what does it have to do with the Bible?
Well, now, I'm trying to see what he's going with.
Interesting.
What does it have to do with the Bible, huh?
Well, you had one group. Now, the only group that you could really stem from before, did you say before Adam or Hebrew people?
See, an old soul once told me, say, in order to know where you're going from and going at in life, you got to know where you come from, young man.
Listen. If the point you're trying to make that the Bible, the Hebrew language, came from a different language, that's true. A lot of languages are connected. A lot of the Semitic languages are, especially in the Near East, especially from the region. But what's your ultimate point you're trying to get at? Are you trying to say that the Bible's not true? Are you trying to say that our understanding of the Bible's not accurate based on the language? What's the point you're trying to make here?
The point I'm trying to make is this. In the beginning of this conversation, right, someone said something about the Bible and saying it as in the state of, not excuse me, they didn't say nothing about the Bible. They made a statement along the lines of if we could pretty much govern ourselves how it used to be back in the days. And with that being said, if you could fall up under the law of the land, which is how we govern ourselves back in the days. So, how much do you know about that law?
Oh, he's talking about the morality that exists in the culture, for example.
Okay.
But let me let my plane. Because this was said. Now, I'm just giving you the 360. You want to know where I'm going, so take time and read the map. Before the Hebrews, what group of people there was?
There were Canaanites. There were Sumerians. Phoenicians. There's a whole bunch of different groups of people all throughout the region.
All throughout the region, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you believe the Sahara was a rainforest before it was a desert? Or do you know that it was a rainforest before it was a desert?
Well, based on what we see scientifically, they said that at one point it was. I think they said 25,000 years ago, something like that. Well, I mean, speculation, because when it comes to the ancient past, people base certain things on certain evidences, and some people make a conclusion, some people don't.
I'm asking you about your thought. I'm not asking about anybody else.
Yeah, I think at one time it was, based on the evidence I've seen.
Now with that being said, right, you can agree there's a different vegetation in the land, in which, with that being said, there's a different form of people thinking a different kind of way based on the lighting from the sun and the type of environment thereof or the geological location.
Okay.
You're not talking Bible, you're talking science.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to get to, what's your ultimate point here? I know you're trying to get there, but just get to the point.
Yeah, it's because you're talking science, so one step.
The point is, you got to see which way you're carrying it.
Listen, if you just want to get to your ultimate point and say that the Bible's not true, just get there. You don't have to tap dance.
No.
Just get to the point. I know what you're ultimately trying to say. Just go ahead and get there.
Let's scratch the Bible, right? Let's scratch black and white, right? So now what we got to talk about?
You see what I'm saying?
Without bringing up black and white, you do not have the vision. You only have unity.
Okay, I can answer.
Brother, division has existed since the beginning of human history. I don't know where you're getting these ideas from.
The Bible has not
He said earlier someone spoke about back in the day. That was me that said that. But I'm only 35 years old. You took it way back. I'm merely speaking of just, I was raised on excuse my language, Miss Inez. I got spankings and things like that, and it was just a different world when we had to mow the lawn every week. It was a different world when we had to do it whether we wanted to or not. I did not mean to go back that far, brother. I understand where you're going, but that was me that said that, brother.
But you said a good thing, though. That's all I'm saying. What you said is good. And see, and they laugh because they're looking at it as a state of reason being instead of a cause and effect.
Wait a minute, brother.
Understanding.
Oh, my God.
I'm operating understanding. I can't speak for anyone else. I'm trying to understand you.
I want to answer his question, if you let me. He asks, where were they before black and white, right? Right?
No, I say, if you read the Bible and you take black and white out the picture,
Stop right there. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to answer your question. You said if you take Bible
black
out of the white. Black and white
no,
out of
black
the place,
and
right?
White.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you would have? Do you know what you would have?
What?
Where were you? I'm gonna tell you the whole thing. I got it.
Yeah.
Well, I like that question. Okay. Where were you?
You're finding time to think. Just stop, think.
I'm gonna run it by you. I'm just trying to make a little clarity here. Well, let me just go to the point. It was divine. It was divine before it became natural.
That's
there was a group of people.
Asking.
Yes,
take it
well, you said,
out the picture. Don't say it. Don't say black and white. Don't say Bible. What are we talking about? If you can't say those things, if you can't speak about religion and division, what can you speak about?
Well, you have to say spirit. You would have to say spirit then. If you take away Bible, if you take away black and white, then it wouldn't be nothing but spirit. Because everything is spirit before it becomes life. It proceeds.
Yeah, but that's not the point he was trying to make, brother. But the guy was simply trying to. He simply wanted to discredit the Bible.
One at a time.
He tried to go down a series of paths to try to get to a point of discrediting the Bible. He realized once he got to a point that he couldn't actually do it because he knew he was going to get caught. So then he switched up the topic and brought up some nonsensical point talking about what would happen if we didn't have black and white in the Bible? Or would there be division? That was just him trying to get out of the situation he was in because he was stuck. That's all
no,
it was.
Sir, I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want to sit here. See, one thing I know about
brother, religion, nobody's worried about you or threatened about what you're going to say because
you
don't have anything to say. You knew what was going to happen. You knew what was going to happen. That's why you got out. The kitchen got too hot, and you had to jump out. That's all it was. You knew it was coming. You didn't have anything. I already know your game, man.
The Bible is bullshit. I'm going to tell you it's bullshit.
Go ahead. Now, where's your evidence to say that? Prove it, please. I got to hear this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ms. Inez. I apologize, Ms. Inez.
Blood of Jesus.
Yeah, but no, go ahead. I'm not worried about anything you got
to
say. Say everything you want to say. No problem. I'm not worried about it. Let him make his case.
Religion is a compound word. Re means to do over again and again and again. Legion is a group of people. So when you bring and put it together, religion, and you re-legion, religion, you redoing a group of people.
Okay.
So
I missed that, man.
And you're conquering. That's the whole purpose.
Did you say legion?
Okay. One thing about it, we talk about the education system. I'm talking about things that wasn't put in your curriculum of teaching. I'm talking about things that wasn't put in your indoctrination. That's why you got A, B's, and C's in school.
Yeah,
but that's a separate point. Let him finish his case. So you said number one that the Bible, the first point you brought up was the religion is about dividing and conquering. That's your first point. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Yes. Okay, now what's your next point?
Hey, man, everything is based on your opinion and how you want to see it, bro. Like, in all actuality, I'm not going to sit here and argue. You can't argue facts. I mean, you
no,
can
I'm not
trying.
It's not about arguing. I want to hear your case. I want to see what you. I used to be an atheist.
I don't have
I used to be against Christians.
You're not
going to
help me with my solution, so I don't have no case.
It's not about helping solutions. It's about coming to the truth. Now, you made a couple points. You said
no,
the Bible's
BS.
No, it's
about a solution to a problem. I told you.
Okay, but
you
made the statement, brother. You made the statement. You said the Bible.
Every strong black man I learned about.
Gentlemen,
come on, come on.
No, we're not talking about black. We're not talking about black leaders. We're just going off the point that I don't know if it was you or the other brother said. The brother said the Bible's BS. I said, what's your case? First point, he said religion is the divide and conquer. That's you. Okay. So other than to say that a religion divides and conquers, do you have any other point or case to support your position that the Bible's BS? Anything else?
Well, who told him the Bible was BS? Who told him that?
No. I want to understand where he's coming from. So he made his first point. I'm sure you've got to have other reasons other than just to say that religion divides and conquers people.
I'm talking to a bunch of fools.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Let me get this straight. We're hearing you out. We're hearing you out.
That's not a fool. My son.
Okay, so let me understand.
That's not a fool.
Okay, whatever your insults are, it doesn't matter. The point is still stands. You made a statement. I asked you to provide the case to support your point. The only thing you came up with was religion divides and conquers people. I asked you to make a follow-up point. Do you have anything else? And you resort to just name-calling and making fun of people. That's your argument?
No, hold on. My brother, with all respect, we're all searching for some knowledge. Don't let this experience be negative for you. Young man, I don't know.
It's not about being negative. It's about let the guy make his point, and what I'm letting him do is expose himself to himself. He made a statement. He can't even back it up, and because he couldn't back it up, you know what happened? I asked him three times to go ahead and continue making his case, to make his next point. Each time he refused to do so, and when he got frustrated, what did he do? Name call and insult, which shows you he
Very
doesn't
true.
Have a case. That's my point.
What I'm trying to do is help understand where he's coming from with the fact of searching, you know, for the true knowledge, the truth.
No, he ain't
really
searching, brother.
On.
Come on, man. You can tell by what he said. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. Like, I don't mind someone disagreeing with me. If he can make a valid argument.
The topic tonight is education. The topic tonight
brother,
is education.
We waited for you to make an answer, but you didn't have one.
Wait.
You didn't have one. That's what happened.
I'm also looking for education, as both, you know, as everyone is here to do. So if we run somebody off, are we not guilty of the problem that's creating the issues in society today by the inability for us to communicate?
Come on, man. When someone makes a statement, like, for example, if he were to say to me, why do you think the Bible's true? Then I would make a point 1, 2, 3, 4, this is why I think the Bible's true, this is why I think God exists, right? He told me the Bible's BS. I said, okay. I didn't take it as an insult, even though I'm a Christian, right? So I just simply ask him why. So I wanted to hear him out. Let me hear his argument, because I used to be an atheist, so I understand maybe where he's coming from. The only point he made was
I don't want him to leave the show on a negative basis and not be willing to continue talking.
The position got exposed by himself. I mean, I didn't expose him. He exposed himself. We let him make
his
case over and over again. Make your case. I'm willing to hear you out. But
in a demographical category. You cannot categorize.
Demographical category, brother. Now you're using words you don't even know how what they mean. I mean, come on, man. Stop,
how are you telling me? You just told me I'm an atheist. You categorize me. You put me in a demographic.
I didn't say you're an atheist. I said I used to be an atheist, so I understand where you're coming from somebody who doesn't believe in the Bible. That's my point.
Come on, man.
Let it cool down.
You still didn't make your case.
Breathe.
With all due respect, ma'am, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I thank you for having me on your show. You know what I mean? I appreciate it. I had a good conversation. Y'all some intelligent people, you know what I mean? I'm not leaving on no bad note. You know what I'm saying? But my son do just
the
told
righteous
me,
are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues. Y'all saw it in live and in action. That Bible verse come true.
Mike, that's what it is.
I can't. Come on now.
Give him a minute. He's leaving respectfully. Please let him bow out. If he must, he's doing it respectfully. I'm not mad at him.
Go ahead, please. As you were saying, as you were.
Did we lose him?
I don't think so. I don't think. Let's see. Night Trig. Because that was Trig, right?
Yeah, I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere. I can never be ran off. I'm a soldier, baby. One thing
okay.
about it, don't call me a general for nothing. What you talking about? I'm a general.
No. I just want to make sure that we all still here.
This is my DNA.
No, just with respect,
yeah,
that's
I
not
see,
what we're here to
I
do.
See you're there.
It's hereditary.
Hey.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's hereditary. It's in my DNA. I'm built this way. I don't have to go
okay.
in. I don't have to go and read a book. I'm in tune with the universe. I don't care about your books. Your books means nothing to me.
Okay.
You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, your books are frivolous information of disguise. That's all your books are.
Do you know how to read?
Because guess what? I'm going to tell you something about your books.
That's raw.
Your books are written in perception of the author that wrote them.
Sorry.
So however that
I'm
author
sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize.
Who wrote that book, he's putting that book in a certain perspective in the way that he wants to see it. And so you're going to read a book in his perspective and view the world out of his eyes and come up with your own perception and alliance and agreements with him because you're going to find some type of relation to feel empowerment with the author.
Do you believe that God exists?
No. Don't use believe on Miss Inez's platform. Because when you use believe, that means you're perceiving something is real. That means it's not real. It's not there. It's fake and frivolous. Don't do that.
It's a simple question. You don't want to answer it?
No, it's not a simple question. I ask it the correct way, and I'll answer it.
Okay. Does God exist?
One moment. Okay. Reverend Ron, I think that's who wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just like to say that if you take issues out of this world, including books, including compositions of all kinds, or even the findings of the anthropologists, if you take it out, then you'll have to have spirit involved. Because everything comes to the earth by spirit first. So if you eliminate all of earth action, you would have spirit. Now, the source of the spirit, which tells us whether it's right or wrong, if the spirit indicates imperfection, you know it's wrong. If
mm-hmm.
the spirit of the mind projects perfection, you know it's God. So if you take away everything under the canopy of heaven, then you will find that you will have nothing but spirit. That's it.
Hey, Pastor, you know what? You're on to something. But guess what I got to tell you? Everybody can have a spirit, but not everybody has a soul, my brother.
Well, again, the soul is the hidden man or hidden woman of the heart. The soul is carried about by the spirit of the mind of the soul, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And the spirit of the mind of the soul carries the body. The body is the instrument of expression. So it won't do nothing just of itself. It has to be told to walk, get up out of the bed, eat. So its actions, the attributes of the body carrying it out, actions, is according to the spirit of the soul. That's guiding
mm-hmm.
the soul that's inside of the body.
So is it safe to say that we don't have a conscience? Is it simply spirit and body, and the spirit trying to kill the body so the spirit can live?
Well, we have a conscience now. We have a conscience because we are reminded of different experiences that we've had in our life. So conscience is analytical. It analyzes and it records the experiences we've had in our life. So you got a conscience. That's why the Spirit of God purges us from our Adamic conscience through the sacrifice of Jesus.
Seems to me I missed a damn good argument.
Wow. Joe, go back and listen to the replay.
Now, Pastor.
Go ahead.
As it is in heaven, it should be on earth, right?
Right.
Supposed to be.
Oh, I like that, Miss Inez. Quick on your feet. Now, The kingdom of Jerusalem sat in the mountains. Am I correct? The poor people roamed the valley. Am I correct? Jesus was the son of a carpenter. Am I correct?
That's not true.
What's not true, Mike? He said three different things
to
about
back
the
your
valley.
Opinionated thought.
No, he said Jerusalem sits on a mountain.
Mm-hmm. And the valley is somebody's in the valley. The poor people's in the valley.
And I say the poor people worked in the valley.
Okay.
Which is below the mountains. And I said Jesus is the son of a carpenter. A carpenter was a poor man that worked in the valley.
Well, he didn't live in the valley of Jerusalem. His father wasn't a carpenter. And the poor people
didn't
just live in the valley.
In the valley. I say he worked. If you listen.
He wasn't. His father wasn't a carpenter. That's just, people say that, but that's not actually the case.
His father was a carpenter. His heavenly father.
No, his father wasn't
a
carpenter. His father was, that it was actually, the word is in Greek there is construction worker. People just use the word carpenter for whatever reason. But he wasn't a carpenter, just to be clear.
Okay, he was
a
mason. He was a mason. Well,
that's a mason has to do with someone who does, yeah, a builder would be a better word.
And no matter what word you use, it's like synonymous. It means the same shit. Excuse me, I forgot about your platform.
Hey, we're not in Clubhouse. We're in my club, not in the house.
I had to catch myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to catch you next time.
I still like that question, does God exist? I missed that one.
Oh,
he's not
going to
answer that.
I am who I am.
Basically, trying to get this guy to answer a direct question is difficult because he likes to play these little games and dance around points. So you got to wait like 15 minutes for him to get to the next point. He can't just speak direct. That's the issue we have right now.
Come on,
why should I take you?
Come on.
Why should I take you to the Father? If the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, at least you look no further.
Brother, you're not in the Father. Person? Your Father's the devil. Let me clarify for you. You don't
what?
Know who you're talking about, what you're talking about. Yes.
His Father
Anyone
is
who
the
speaks
devil?
The way he's speaking, that's what Jesus said. Okay? If you are living in sin, you're a slave to sin, and you oppose Jesus in any way, shape, or form, your Father's the devil. That's Scripture. So everyone in this world has
what?
Either the son of, either children of
I'm
God
sorry,
or the children
sir,
of the devil.
Not scripture. No, sir, I can't be mute anymore. This is chaotic. It's not right. It's not right. This is radio. Tell the truth. Tell it.
That's what I'm trying to tell it, because it's really blasphemy, because everybody pick up a cross and worship a cross. Everybody ordained a Christmas tree every 25th of Christmas. So who are y'all as religious people to tell someone that they're not living right when you're worshiping paganism?
I'm not worshiping paganism. Okay, I don't celebrate Christmas. I know the history of my faith. I know what I believe in. I know what I've studied. I know what I believe in. Okay.
So you
I had an experience
real,
with the Lord.
You know nothing. You believe.
I know more than you.
So
clearly,
you
I'm just sorry to keep it real. I don't mean to be rude,
I'm trying
I try to give you the benefit of the doubt in this conversation. I try to take you seriously. I try to ask you real questions
more than me,
to make
right?
you to make you support
tell
your
me.
Views.
Wait.
You're talking
listen,
about.
I'm gonna mute everybody in a minute. We all have our knowledges in different areas. You may have not. Do you know everything about a woman, Mike?
No, I'm talking about this specific subject. We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about Christianity. That's the point he's trying to address. Pertaining to that topic, that's what we're saying. That's why every time he's made a point, I've always tried to follow up with a question to get him to actually elaborate.
No,
on
actually, I'm just
every time he does, he gets frustrated, and he then goes on a rabbit trail to a different subject. You notice that, right? He's changed the subject about five, six, seven different times. We've never been able to get to the end on any one point.
Is that what he's doing?
It's really
or is he
about
trying
my community.
To... Is he trying to skirt around the question?
Yeah, he's trying
answer?
To skirt around. I mean, the technical term is called deflect. Whenever you, the politicians
well,
do this
too.
All the time, whenever you try to ask someone a direct question on a particular subject and they don't want to answer or they don't have a good answer to give, they deflect and either change the subject or try to dismiss the question. That's what he's doing. So anytime he makes a point, we try to get to the actual root of it. He moves on to a different subject because he knows he can't back up what he's saying. Remember earlier he said the
so
Bible was
psychologically,
BS.
If I
we
can't have, be
I
controlled.
Asked him to tell us why, and the only point he made was religion divides people. That's it. And I kept asking him, what's your next point? He didn't have one. And now look at this. He's doing the same thing. He's doing the same game again right here. So let's get down to it, Matt. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God, yes or no? Can you answer that, or is that you're going to play some little complicated word game
back
again?
Then. I wasn't living back then. I can't answer that. I wasn't living back then.
There you go.
Neither were you. Neither were you, or him or her.
Okay,
so
but I know Jesus Christ is just because he's alive today, and he changed my life, and I had an encounter with him, and I know he's the truth. I know he's the way, the truth, and life.
You
don't know that because you don't know the God, because you're a slave to sin, because you're a slave to the devil. That's the truth about you. I want you to know that.
I'm going to mute both of you guys. I want to mute both of you guys.
For why?
Stop. Excuse me?
Now, see, this is why I'm going to have this particular topic on my show, because I'm pretty good at questioning people, and I don't allow what this guy's talking about, deflection. I will not allow people to answer sophistry. People will give direct answers, and I will be as the interrogator, as I've described before, as the Supreme Court does with the lawyers that appear before them. So
according to the
this is a round robin type of discussion right now. One at a time.
So right now, this is a round robin type of discussion with people saying one thing, another person trying to refute it, and then enter the entrance of sophistry, etc. I wish people would just either get to the point or go to a topic that people know about.
If there's
if there was a point, we
wouldn't even be talking. Because guess what?
If there was a point, you would be talking.
We'll be working on the
solution. Well, if there was a point, people
would
be talking.
Instead of talking.
Hey.
You want to talk about
religion.
Since I'm not
the one in
charge. You want to talk about race, but you don't want to talk about the solution
okay.
to the problem. You don't want to put work to get the problem done.
You're the one that brought up the point in the first place. Do you even know what you said? Guy, man, bro. I don't know what's wrong with you, man. You're the one that said the Bible was BS. You said the Bible's BS.
Okay.
And then from there, had our discussion. And now you're the one saying, why'd you bring that away? Come on, man. If you don't have an answer to back up your point, just say it. You don't have to act like put on this big show and then just say, look, I don't like it. I don't really have an argument against it. I just don't like it. I don't believe in it. That's all you got to do.
You don't deserve
because
it.
Because you don't have one. I've dealt with you guys so many times, man. People like you who don't have anything to...
What are you doing for the future?
I'm going to mute everybody, and I'm going to let everybody speak at once. One time. Okay. Because it seems like one person is taking over and not allowing everybody else to speak. So we're going to start with Reverend Ron. Well, we're going to start with guidance first. No, we're going to end with guidance since it's about the future. So we have about 16 minutes, and we have about seven people. So you have about 2 minutes to speak per person. We're going to start with Reverend Ron.
My whole thing tonight is reconciliation on the stage of life. While I'm here on this stage, I'm reconciling people
Pay me, punk.
Like this.
Can everybody else please mute their lines? Thank you. Go ahead, Reverend Ron.
While I'm on the stage of life, my performance is to reconcile people back to the Creator. That's my whole piece in life. And to encourage them, to perfection instead of imperfection. That's it for me.
Okay. I think we have Reverend Ronnie Jones on the line. I don't know if he ever got a chance to say anything. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Reverend Ronnie Jones?
Hey, good evening. God bless you all.
Good evening.
He that does not have the wisdom, you got to pray and ask God to give it to him. You can't, you don't argue back and forth because it's very unprofessional. Regardless of how somebody feels, you have to let them have their understanding as well as you have yours. And there are so many that listen to the radio station, especially, you know, there's youngsters out there as well. You know what I mean? You got to keep it appropriate as best you can. I understand when you're in a conversation and it's heated, people tend to lose their temps. They tend to lose their character, their personality of who they are. But you got to understand that there are so many more out there listening that just want to hear a divine word of healing. When you talk about the school systems, I'm a father of seven kids and two grandkids. And I tried everything from taking care of my kids at home as far as homeschooling. And in the end, I came up to a decision that my children, I don't want them to live sheltered because then that's a sin. Your children won't know the world. They'll know what you give them the vision of knowing in the world, but they'll become angry with you later on in life because they didn't get a chance or opportunity to be or see anything in the world. And I do believe that children should go to church and study to be approved by God, to understand and get a love for Christ is an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing. But if you are using the word as a benedict or you're using it basically in the wrong terminology or focus, then you're corrupting that which is good. And you can't corrupt the word because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. I mean, that's in the beginning. So you bear in mind that the fruit of the Spirit is going to show the spiritual gifts that you have. It's going to show your anointing and your calling and your position in the Lord. And we must stand in that position. We know that perilous times will come. These are the signs of the end of days. Men will turn against men and, you know, daughter against mother, father against son. They'll be high boisterous of themselves. But rejoice not in these things. Rejoice. Your name written in heaven. Your name written in heaven. That's the word of power today. Man. You pray for those that don't have that understanding without ceasing. That's your job as a Christian. That's my job as a Christian. If they don't have knowledge, let them ask. Our children perish from lack of understanding. We talk about the poor and the impoverished. What about the kids out there that had it good with a mother and father but went crazy and shot up people in the middle of the street? I mean, do your research. Yes, the government has changed a lot of things. But they can't change what's in your heart, what God gives you. If God is with you, then who therefore can be against you? We can use the word constructively, or we can use it destructively. It's up to us. But I'd rather walk in the fruits of the Spirit bearing in mind that God sees and knows all that I'm doing and knows the hairs that are numbered on my head, than to use his word destructively. And this is against nobody tonight, but it's imperative that we not forget the higher calling upon our lives and what God has in store for us. Because in his house are many mansions. Not in the world. If the world gave you a headache this far, then you, hey, what else is going to give you?
Mm-hmm.
Even more headache.
Mm-hmm.
In God's house, there are many mansions. Let's walk more with God. Let's be more positive and stay focused on what's at hand. Don't let the anger of the past or the things of today stop you from focusing in on Jesus. Hey, God bless all y'all, and I thank you for having me on the show, sister. I really appreciate the conversation, but I stay quiet because I listen to everything. It's imperative to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen before you speak, before you act, or you react. I can understand questioning, but if God blesses you with an understanding, pray on it, and he'll give you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all stay blessed now. Have a good
thank
evening.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Ron.
Bless you, Brother Ron.
Uh-huh. Pastor Don, you have anything you'd like to say? 2 minutes.
First off, I want to say thank you to all the winning team members that called in tonight. Thank you to all the rest of the radio listeners. Thank you for the future records. Happy birthday, Guidance. Yo, this has been a wild, wild show. I've been on over 10,000 shows like this, and I'm just shocked. I was just like, I can't say nothing, but it was a great, healthy discussion. Hopefully, we can all agree. We spent our time wisely and we learned something. And we learned how not to act when we're around professional people. And on that note, I'm going to have my point. Y'all have a great evening.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. That was Pastor Don Jr., CEO. The 3,000 is what I'm going to call 300. Go ahead, Mike. 2 minutes. Do you have anything to say before we close out?
Thank you again for having me on. And I just want to say to all the Christians out there, whenever people question your faith or question what you believe in, don't be afraid to give an answer. I mean, the Bible teaches us, always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that you have within you. So when people come at the Bible, which a lot of people do now, and they come at it really strongly, you have to be able to know what you believe, explain it, defend it, and stand for it. And don't be intimidated by people. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, because these people have nothing to stand on. All the people that come against the Lord and his word, most of them, they have no peace. They have no joy. They have no rest. That's why they're on drugs. That's why they're on alcohol. That's why they're on all these problems, because they don't have inner peace. This inner peace only comes from the Lord. So never forget that. Don't fall for the lies of the enemy like the brother tried to put in. Just stand for what you believe in. I thank you all. Have a good night.
Thank you. Mike from Minnesota. Let's see. We have Trigg as the general. Would you like to say anything?
Mr. Iron Aaron, you have such a beautiful platform. I might add.
Thank you.
Welcome to being here. And I would like to say is I didn't want to too much get into the thought or the discussion about religion on this platform, because it's not relative to the matter. Because while you holding your Bibles and praying, I'm peeping out my window watching a young brother get gunned down by a police officer. I'm watching somebody getting pulled over by a police officer and can't even scared to even speak on their constitutional rights that they have because they're afraid of being shot. You know what I mean? But you still holding your Bible telling me about your God. How am I supposed to believe your God when I'm watching my brother getting killed for something, for nothing? How am I supposed to believe in your God when I'm watching a million hungry people walk this earth? How am I supposed to believe in your God when I'm watching so much wrong going on before my eyes? So I'm supposed to perceive that this goodness is real. I'm supposed to think it's there while I'm living in reality, about to get my head cut off, about to get shot up. I'm just saying, make it make sense to me. What are we doing?
We're going to keep talking about religion? We're going to keep talking about race? Or are we going to do something about it?
That's what this is about tonight. That's what we're talking about tonight.
Now I'm on my plane.
Okay, guidance. It's on you, bro.
All right. Thank the general. Blessings. Everybody's points tonight was on point. Mike, everybody else who listened in. The way that I was able to relate, watching my friends killed, a few of them which in front of me, was that God brought us together. And once united, it won't be so easy for us to be taken down when we're all looking out for each other. I don't ask you to, you know, take my perspective as 100%, but I do ask you to understand that with For the Future and unity, it's protection globally. It's love worldwide. You know, the communities, the people around you aren't going to stand and watch that happen. And, you know, with respect to the police, I have, you know, family and police. I was in law enforcement. But if I was doing something wrong and there was five cops and 500 people that were about doing something to protect their brother, it would definitely be a less likely chance to do something. So I pray that, you know, I pray guidance, and I understand I blame God for every person I lost in my life. My grandfather died in my arms, and I still have a hard time with that. He's the one that brought me into music. But what helped me understand purpose and the future and the importance of what's going on is there's a lot of things that don't happen. And just the same way, we won't have empty farms. People won't be starving when 100 people are ready to go work on a farm that doesn't belong to them because they know those groceries are going on their table too. So this is more than just religion, my brother and my king. God brings a lot of knowledge that is the truth, man, unity. We all need to eat. We all need to survive. If an alien spaceship land and drop off 100 aliens, are we all going to try to fight them separately and get taken out or come together? At that point in time, it's different. You know, so I pray that, you know, that we're able to definitely have more conversations like this. And that I can help you understand the true love, positivity, and power that God brings. For Miss Inez and Joe, thank you for having me on the show. I'm greatly appreciative. Everybody else that was on the show, I'm very thankful for your comments. man, let's change the world. Let's do this together. And I only speak on this, Trig the General, or anybody else listening. Because, man, I made it all over the world doing what God told me to do. And there ain't a soul on the planet can't tell me he don't exist because I passed away. It's a story for another day, but Trig, man, call me, man. Talk to me, man. I get what you're talking about. I've looked out the window, seen people getting killed. I sat in the car, people getting killed. Not, you know, nothing I had to do with it. Just shit happens in the hood. Oh, excuse my language. God, I just cursed on live air. I apologize, Miss Inez. Things happen in the hood, but it changed me.
You got to cash at me $30 for all the words. No, I'm just messing.
It's on the way. It's on the way. But things happen in the hood that we can't explain, and I'm guilty of literally blaming God. I have no other way to put it. I blame God too, brother. But there's a way around that, man. Talk to me, bro.
Well, I mean, we have more shows. This isn't the last show, so y'all more than welcome to come on the show. So, I'm sorry. Did you land your plane?
Yes, I do land my plane. Sorry about that.
All right. Want to wish Guidance, OG, happy birthday, happy anniversary. Happy birthday to his wife. Cash App to us all, you know, if you want to keep Let's Do the Radio on the air so we can have more discussions like this at $ANAISEVALCOUR. I want to thank For the Future for that. I just came up with this thing, you know, about the stage. So if we need to continue this conversation, we can do that. Not a problem. There's not going to be a show on Thursday. Hush, lady. And on the 13th, I hope to do a Mother's Day tribute, hopefully get that pre-recorded so that we all can have a nice Mother's Day because I'm going to be in Hotlanta. Hey. New York, excuse me. So I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this evening. keep your head on a swivel, love one another, respect one another. I have been your hostess, Ms. Inez, for the evening, and I've had plenty of guests on the show, so I just want to give a clap to each and every one of you, and thank you to every one of you. And you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and you can find me right here on Let's Do It Radio on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and on Sunday for church, and on every other Wednesday for Bible study. Today, in this world, with all of the natural disasters, devastation, and wars, and rumors of wars, and people and stuff, pray one for another. That's out. Peace out. I have landed my plane. Thank you, each and every one of you. Have a blessed night. Peace. Happy birthday.